Blog Talk Radio.
Erev Tov, yes, I. Shalom, Chavarim. Good evening, good evening. Here for the Thursday podcast, the Rastafari podcast. Here, the Thursday, the upper room. Here, the upper room of Zion podcast. Today's daily psalm here in the season, Psalm 129. We have an overflow right here from the previous. We had Psalm 72, very, very important psalm. Zoom in on verse 9, do your studies on verse 9. Is Ethiopia really hidden there in Psalm 1, in Psalm 72? I'm thinking of today's daily psalm. Psalm 72, we have the overflow. Let's get to the third Midrash section of the study of Psalm 72 in the previous podcast for the Wednesday Wisdom, Wisdom Wednesday, the Wednesday podcast. But here for the Thursday, here, as we fulfill the seventh Shabbat, we're commanded here in the season, the harvest season, the iritical spiritual harvest season. Looking forward to the good growth of the fruits of the Isla Irid, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But here, reason for the season, both this podcast here, the Thursday podcast that we have christened as the Zion podcast, full of folk, the upper room of Zion, here, in tune with the reason for the season. So Chavarim, Shalom, Chavarim, here. Chavar Shalano, Ra Sahar Ahad, right here, with the URZ, Upper Room of Zion, overview.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes.
From the upper room of Zion, what they be on? Distinguishing the light seeker from the peon. Rise, lay Adonis, lay upon us, knowledge that is eons. Old has it been told since the days of old, and I sit watching the story unfold. Yeshua gave us the code, gave us the name. Kept the Maui Hadith Selassie, the first will reign. The opener of the book of the seven seals. Time for the gathering. It's the matter, and no, not the Vatican. Christ in his kingly character, we on that again. I'ma keep speaking the scriptures until I'm out of wind. Built on the true foundation, there's no shaking. There's no need of you hating. Stop hesitating. How many of you have been waiting? In the upper room, we meeting in the upper room of Zion.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
In the Christian tradition, based on Acts 1:13, the upper room was said to be the site of the Last Supper, i.e., the cenacle. But it was not the upper room found in Mark 14:15, and Luke 22:12 is the site of the Last Supper. However, the upper room in Zion, Acts 1:13, located on Mount Zion in the city of David, was the usual place where the apostles of Adonai Baruch stayed in Jerusalem. And according to the Rastafari Encyclopedia, based upon Acts 2 and 42, as it is written, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. It was thus the first church of the Nazarene, our black master and savior, Jesus Christ, and said by many to be the first Christian church.
Yes. So here, the reason for the season and the season. It's like the fractal sacred geometry. So here, the Thursday podcast is themed Upper Room of Zion, based on this time and this season here, according to the royal order that we are observing. The seven Shabbat, seven times seven, the two sevens clashing. And on the morrow after the seventh Shabbat is the harvest, where that harvest took place according to Acts of the Apostles. We have Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, but in chapter 1, hear, hear, hear.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren.
Mahalia, Mahalia Jackson. Yes, sir.
In the upper room.
So here, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary right here has a very good reference rate, a point of reference. It's short, little, but it's Talawa, small, but it's great, of great significance. The disciples, it speaks about the disciples. Looking up upper room in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, we have a section here that speaks of the disciples, the Talmudim, the Hebrew Talmid from the Lamad to learn, to study. We have Talmud, which is an operative word in Hebrew that means teaching. So the Talmudim, those in the studies of Rabbeinu, and our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, our black Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. Disciples in the upper room. Here they give a definition here, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary speaking. It says the gathering of the disciples or apostles in the upper room symbolizes. So we have a word pick, one can say a parable or allegory, so to speak, symbolically speaking, of the concentration or focus, of the faculties at the center of spirituality in communion, in common union, in communion with Ha'ab, with the Father. Again, here in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, here the reason for the season right here for the Upper Room of Zion podcast here, counting and fulfilling this seventh Shabbat. In the seven Shabbats, we're commanded to count, complete the two sevens, clashing the two sevens according to the glory of His Majesty, Kamawi Hala Selassie. He said, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So we of the name, that new name, the precious name, Rastafari, our namesake. Here, according to the teachings, we have the disciples in the upper room. So we both have this upper room, the upper room of Zion. Now, as we say in the podcast description, and give thanks, Ras Sahar Ahad there for the audible right there, that it's not the same upper room, right, where the Last Supper took place. And this is getting into the details, but, you know, to study to shew ourselves approved. And the Nazarene tradition, tribe that later would be called and known as or referred to as the Christian tradition, based on Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 13, that's the audible right there, we have the upper room. And the upper room is said to be the site of the Last Supper, what's known as the cenacle, or C-N-A-C-L-E. But here's the key, that it was not the upper room that's found in Mark chapter 14, verse 15. This is getting into the study to shew ourselves approved. So there's upper rooms, different upper room. And in fact, the upper room was the higher room, not on the first floor, but on perhaps the next floor or where the roof would be. Somebody might build a next story up there. So that would be the higher room. In fact, it is said that in the east, right, East Africa, you know, east of the River Nile, and even other places throughout that particular region and the continent, that because of the heat, the hotness, sometimes ones and ones would either rest on the floor, the lower level, or would go up to the roof, depending on the season, and would go up to the upper room. But the upper room, even within that aspect, between the ground right? The ground and the higher heights. So we have to recognize the symbology that's inherent, but that then also the practical application as well. So the upper room of Zion, the higher room of the house. And then if I and I, according to the scripture, know ye not that our bodies, that is a temple, right? So even looking at the temple of man, the tabernacle of man, the upper room would be like the mind state, like the Rosh, the Ras, the head, the higher height, as we say, getting into the higher heights. So we have the upper room that's found in Mark chapter 14, verse 15, as well as Luke chapter 22, verse 12, that upper room. That's what we specify, the upper room of Zion, of Sion, of Zion. So we have the upper room of the Last Supper. That's found in Mark chapter 14, verse 15, and Luke chapter 22, verse 12. We're speaking about the upper room in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 13. And that is the upper room of Zion, Acts chapter 1, verse 13. This was located on Har Sion. So even here in the season, we look at the harvest, right? The fourth of the seven feasts of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, the harvest. So we have seven feasts, appointments, in seven moons and 7 months, right? So we have Passover, firstly, Pascha or Pesach. Secondarily, we have the unleavened bread, 7 days. Then we get to the Bikurim, first fruits. All of those three occur in the first of the three pilgrim festivals, three times in the year. Then from Bikurim, first fruits, we are commanded to count from that first day, the first day of the Ehud, Yom HaRishon, that's called by the Gentile Sunday. So from that first day, the Sunday, we are commanded to begin our count of seven Shabbats. So from the first day to the Shabbat day, repeat it seven times. Right then, when we reach the seventh, on that morrow after the seventh, is the harvest. Brings us to what is known in the Hebrew as Shabuot. Shabuot in the ancient Afro-Semitic, the true ancient pointing Shabuot. In modern Hebrew, it will be enunciated as, it's often referred to as Shavuot, Shavuot. But ancient pointing, Shavuot. Shavuot come from Sheba and Shabua. We have Shabua, 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 which is the word for a week. But in that word, Hebraically refers to Sheba, like Sheba, Sheba, seven. Right? So the 7 days, counting seven Shabbats complete. So here is where we're at, and here is where they were at as well. Because from that first day resurrection of Yeshua HaNotri, which became further proof that Yeshua HaNotri truly be HaMashiach, the Messiah of the prophecy, especially in that first advent, the Messiah of the prophecy. So he was the first, after those 3 days, raised on the first day, that first day resurrection, it corresponded even in the season with the harvest, with the first fruits, Bikurim, with first fruits. So what we have is, as the Yehudi, the Jews, and the Hebrews, the Israelites were observing, right, was observing the Torah holiday and feast, we had Moshiach Yeshua fulfilling it in a new and a living way. So as ones brought forward the first fruits on Bikurim, Yeshua, Ha'adon Kam, Ha'adon, the Lord, the Master was risen, right? And therefore, them observing that, they continue that count as the Yehudi would count from first fruits, bringing the first of the fruits, the barley harvest, and then counting the growth of the wheat and the other crop. They would 50 days. So the 50 days later, right, brings us to the harvest. But now that's the first type. And the second type is Yeshua as that first fruit, right? And then we get the fuller crop, right? The disciples rising up 50 days later, right? This is what we have in Acts of the Apostles. Now, what's also very interesting is that we have Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. If we look at the Old Testament, the Hebrew, the Exodus narrative, we can see where the observation of the feasts and the festivals, according to the narrative, are related and referred to. So 50 days after the Yetziyat, the tsa'at, the coming out, the exodusing out of Mitzrayim, out of the Hikapata, Gipta, Egypt, or Kemet, if you please, out of Egypt, they reach Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. So therefore, harvest, in addition with the first, so we can say the agricultural type, you know, the harvest of the crops, the harvest of the fruit, the harvest of the ground, giving thanks to the Creator for the harvest in that good land. And the first type that we have, that they experienced, was that harvest of the giving of Torah, giving of the direction, instruction. This is the birth of, we could say, the Yisrael, Yasharala, Yisrael nation, right? That birth of the nation and the giving, we can say, of the 10 words, the 10 commandments, like the giving of the constitution, the giving of the constitution to call Yisrael, call Beit Yisrael, to all of Israel, to all of the house of Israel. So harvest is very significant on a few levels. The first, the basic level, is 50 days after the Exodus, the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, the Israelites, reach Har Sinai, reach Mount Sinai. Now, when we come to a new covenant sense, right, we no longer return to Har Sinai, but now we move on and we reach Har Zion. So from Sinai of the old covenant, we could say the Brit Chadasha, to the Brit Chadasha, to Mount Zion. We're getting some more of the details of that right there, brothers and sisters. Hope ones and ones are in the studies, because ones are in the studies, even some of the basic studies, you know, ones will be able to at least anchor, you know, what we have said and just gone over in a basic summary with the context of Scripture. If one's just hearing this, then please take some notes, especially Talmudim, fellow disciples, because we're in the upper room of Zion. So disciple. Let's define a disciple. Disciple here, at least according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, there's a couple of key words and phrases here that we'd like just to touch on here. Iron sharpened iron. Disciple, Talmid. Talmid in the Hebrew, disciple is a Talmid, right? From the Lamad, to learn, to study, Talmid. Here they have, and this is a reference here in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, I think they have this to Webster, it says right here in parentheses. And it says, see apostles. But the first degree of our study, disciple comes before apostle, right? So disciple, one who receives in the Hebrew, the Kabbalah, the Kabbalah, to receive, just the act of receiving. One who receives instruction, HaTorah. Torah is referred to as law, but more Hebraically, according to the Hebrew, it's direction, instruction. One who receives instruction from another. This was Webster's, according to Metaphysical, they inserted this there. That's generally. But now specifically for I and I, right? Specifically, and according to the Scripture, a disciple is one who receives instruction from their master. And the master, as Yeshua spoke about, the master, you know, disciple relationship. If you read the Hebrew and understand in the Hebrew, he's talking about the disciple and the rabbi connection, because he is Rabboni. He is our, I and I, rabbi. You know what I mean? And the rabbi of rabbis, according to I and I, who accept Yeshua HaNotri as HaMoshiach. Now, disciple here, the next entry here, it has disciple, comma, calling of. So the sense here is the calling of a disciple, the calling of disciple. To call a disciple or an apostle, this is many are called, right? To call a disciple or, in the secondary, the next sense, an apostle, is mentally, according to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary here, this is the point of reference, to recognize. Again, to call a disciple or apostle is mentally to recognize that disciple, that Talmid. It is to identify oneself with the intelligence, the intel, the intelligence working at a center, like a center point, right? At the root, the center, foundation in the holy place, heart to call. This heart is the center. For example, judgment at the solar plexus. Judgment at the solar plexus. To make this identification, one must realize one's unity. Here, speaking even according to the true church and the professing church, according to the principle over personalities, speaking of Tawahido, right? That oneness, that unity, Mawahad. One must realize one's unity, one's oneness with Ha'elohim, Ha'elohim, with the power, with the source, through Moshiach, Moshiach, through the anointed, with Moshiach, through the ointment, with Moshiach, through the anointing. Ha-Moshiach, the Messiah, Christos, Christ, being the Ben Elohim, Chayim, being the Son, the Ben Elohim, the power, Chayim, the living, the Son of the living power, the Ben of the Son of the living power. This idea, this seed, always is the seed idea. Even here in the season, the sower go forth to sow, harvest. A harvest is base. You reap, right, what you sow, right? So here, sowing, right, the seed, iritically, we say metaphysically, spiritually, what do we reap? There's a reaping, right? In a lot of pseudo-spirituality, there's no reaping because there's no real seed, because it's not really real. It's not really according to the reality. This is what we study to show ourselves approved, because we're seeing principles here that we can see manifest even in other systems, right? But this is what was given to I and I. So Moshiach being the Ben Elohim Chayim, the Ben, the Son, right, of the living power, this idea, this seed always existing, right, always existing in man's consciousness. It's meant the consciousness, the mind of man. Next entry here is where we started out here from, is disciples in the upper room. Once again, the gathering of the Talmudim, the disciples or apostles in the upper room, it symbolizes the concentration of the faculties at the center of spirituality in communion with the Father, in communion with Elohim Ha'ab, with the power, the Father, the power, the source. So here, upper room of Zion. So the upper room of Zion, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 13, located on Mount Zion. Now Mount Zion, Mount Zion, is known as the city of David, the city of the well-beloved. This was the usual. When we study the scripts, the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament scriptures, we find that this was the usual place where the apostles, right, of Adonai, of Adonai stayed, the disciples slash apostles. In other words, they started out as disciples, and then as they graduated in their studies, right, they were worthy to be sent out. Apostles means one sent, right, one sent. But before they can truly be apostles, and we get the example of the apostles in the script, apostles of HaMoshiach, they first were disciples, right, disciple students. Right. And the graduation, we call this almost like a graduation. Right. Even growing a crop is a graduation, don't you think? You put a seed in the ground, you water it, you tend to it. And then, you know, over time, what happens? It grows. Right. As it grows, hopefully it bears fruit and hopefully it bears good fruit. So this is the place where the disciples slash the apostles, disciples that became apostles of Adonai, of Adonai, Yeshua, HaMoshiach, where they stayed in Jerusalem, and according, as we say, to the Rastafari Encyclopedia, I am forming our own studies right here amongst the brothers, both of this order, LOJ Society, LOJ Service, this intelligence society, because intel is very, very important. Right? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What's so interesting is that we hear and we've seen that, you know, even in the Babylonian system in the world, they say the Central Intelligence Agency, the so-called CIA, and I work for the CIA, but even they have on their wall as their motto, you shall know the truth. How interesting. But here, according to I&I, the Rastafari Encyclopedia, based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42, as it is written. Take note, take note. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42, as it is written, quote, and they continued steadfastly. It says they began. No, they continued. All right. They continued, you know, faith, having that faith, that credit, that admittance. But then there must be that work. Otherwise, it's vain. The faith, the admittance. And they continued. So they continue. What they continue in? Steadfastly, firmly, with focus, right? In the what? The apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching, the teaching, and fellowship, the habarim, in the teaching and the habar, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, right? Both in the literal sense, you know, the literal sense of breaking bread, come sup, yukayud, the supper sup, you know what I mean? Drink of the cup, you know, the chalice. In the breaking of bread, but the breaking of bread, both in the two truths, the natural aspect, come, we sit, you know, we eat, we break bread and everything, and we reason. And in the higher reasoning, that's also that bread, right? That bread of the word, like even that manna, right? That angel's bread. And in prayer. So here, just highlight these four right here from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. These are key. These are principles. Universal principles, but here applicative to Yahweh, truth, and life. We have the doctrine, more specifically, the apostles' doctrine. So those who were disciples, right, in their graduation, the upper room of Zion was like a graduation. Here, the receptivity to the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Now they're graduating, right? They've been in the studies, right? Now they're worthy to be sent forward. Right, and to teach the teaching of Rabbeinu Yeshua HaMoshiach. First point is the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Give us the teaching of his magic, because we don't want no devil's philosophy. The true teaching in the true church and the professing Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church from the Christian, that's one of our main points of reference. Not to the men and people or to today's, the latter-day church, all the follies, the good and the not-so-good. But according to the ancient teachings, Michael, we find that the ancient teaching, right, of the true church and the professing Ethiopian Tewahedo church, they link and they sync, right, with our roots, you know, according to the line of the tribe of Judah and we, the black Jews, he who be, we be his divine majesty. So first thing first is the doctrine, the teaching. Now, the teaching, right, is the key for the fellowship. But fellow, who is my fellow? Who is my brother? You may be my skin color, right, but not my spiritual kind, you know, not in the irritical mind. You may be my skin folk, but not my kin folk, right? Maybe my color, but not my kind. I know ones don't like that. Some don't like that, but it's a distinction, right? Because even amongst Yeshua and his apostles, his disciples, notice that he spoke to the multitude in parables. But then he drew aside and he gave the mystery, the confidential, the higher teaching to those who were in the discipline of the study, to the disciples, right? So they had a closer, we could say, that brotherhood there, right, because of their commitment, right? You know what I mean? Commitment to it, you know what I mean? That's what I said, steadfastly. You can continue in something, but not really steadfastly. You know, like you've been around, but just around, not really in it. But they continued, right, steadfastly, right, in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, and in fellowship with others who also were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread, right, the breaking of bread and in prayers, end quote. It was thus, like this, the, quote, first church of the Nazarene. Some might refer to that as the first Christian church, but at that particular time, they were known as Nazarene. All right? And very interesting here in this 35th sabbatical study for this Shabbat, Shon for Shabbat Naso, you know, we have the Nazir and the vow of the Nazirite, right, the Nazirite. So I'd like to touch on, well, Is Nazirite, was Rabbeinu Yeshua, was he a Nazirite? Was he? The scriptures say he was a Nazarene. Were Nazarenes Nazirite? There's something that is similar, but not the same. We hope to build on that reasoning right there. Take note. But what we have here in the upper room of Zion is the first church, or in the true sense, ecclesia. ecclesia mean outcall. So church is a word that kind of comes up over the last 400 years because of the King James Version translation. Prior to that, the idea of church was referred to as ecclesia, like in the Spanish, ecclesia. Julio Iglesias, no, ecclesia, ecclesia, out called, ek, out, calio, call, right? And then the Hebrew sense of that, we have the kehillah or the kahal, kahal, where that appears even in HaTorah. Stephen, first martyr, right, in Acts of the Apostles. He is speaking and recounting the Israelite history, and he speaks about the church in the wilderness. That's not error, right, in essence, because the church in the wilderness was that assembly. So we read about the words in the Old Testament, like congregation and assembly. These are the operative words that were elsewhere translated into the Greek as ecclesia, and then further later on, after the last 400 years, into the English as church. So we're getting to the roots. So the root idea is a called out assembly. Right? It says you shall have a holy convocation. We find that in HaTorah. Right? And at this time, you shall have a holy, you know, Mikra Kodesh, Mikra, like an out-called, set apart assembly. That's the essence of it. Just to point that out right there, as His Majesty Gormawi Nugus Neges says to I and I, that the church is not the mere building. It's not the mere building, but it's the fulfillment, right, of the way, the truth, and the life. So we have the first called out assembly of the Nazarene, or in later translation, the first church. But when we say church, please, brothers and sisters, don't lose sight. You know, we have to be in the world, not of the world, you know, because when you say church, people can refer and understand what we mean, right? But we have to also help them also to come to the upper room. That basic church is not the building, right? Church is an out-called assembly of those who are in a oneness, who are in a focus, who are in a center, right? So the first assembly of the Nazarene, our Black Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. As said by many others refer to this as the first Christian church. But just take note, at that time in Acts of the Apostles, this is before Antioch. So they were still in the core curriculum. They were still, right, Nazarenes, right? They were still in the way and truth and the life as Talmudim, right, of their Rabbi, Rabboni Yeshua HaMashiach.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
In prayer, they continued in prayer and supplication with the woman. So here. Yes, I and my sister Desiree here. Reason for the season, Zion. So from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, Zion.
Zion.
Sinai, Har Sinai to Har Zion. Now, they were making reference to the epistle to the Hebrews. Just take note, Talmudim, take note, hopefully. Disciples, you know, have your copy book, your composition notebook. That's a very, very good discipline. Many of I and I, you know, can testify, you know, we study to learn and we learn to do. And it's a good discipline right there. Take note right there. Epistle to the Hebrews, you know, the reference and verse, you know, from Sinai to Zion. What's the reference right there? So ones and ones can have that so they can study, and the twos and threes, you know, the two and three coming together is also an assembly, a.k.a. a church. Yes, I. So here, we have a little overflow. You know, the cup can, as they say, spill, you know, or even overflow until it's filled. Right, so here we have Psalm 72. Particular of interest is Ethiopia question, right? A question of concerning Ethiopia in verse 9, as we have it in the King of Kings Bible. We also find it referenced in the Septuagint and some of the earlier versions. But in the Hebrew, there's a different terminology that is used. But then when we study this terminology, we also find an Ethiopian connection with this terminology as it refers to a particular region, right, of the world, and a particular region of the world that's in the prophecy or concerning what the scripture says was given to the children, right? We say the seed of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. I'm going to touch on this subject matter about being Hebrew, right? Being Hebrew is being Hebrew was, let's say it like this, was being Hebrew African ancient spiritual tradition. Some say that what we're talking about, the scripture and the Bible, well, the Bible as we have it today in the King James Version, well, that's, you know, that's 400 years. Yeah, but when we get to the roots, right, the real roots, we have an overflow. Psalm 72. I'd like to share this right here, but here in the proper order, the evening psalm that was said to be chanted in the temple, even the temple of Jerusalem, by Halloween, by the Levites, on the fifth day, right, the evening psalm for the fifth day of the week, the fifth day of the Shavuot, which would be Thursday, as it's called today, quote, Thursday. Today is the fifth day. I'd like to get back to that original, you know, numbering, first day of the Gentiles called Sunday. So we don't have any Sunday worship, but we have worship that occurs on the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday, but we never called it Sunday. But here we're at the fifth day. The evening psalm for the fifth day is Psalm 81. Here.
Psalm 81.
Mizmor pe alef lamnatzeh al hagittit le'asaf.
Sing aloud unto God our strength. Uzzenu,
uzzenu, uzzenu, uzzenu. Harninu l'Elohim uzzenu, 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 uzzenu.
Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. God of Jacob. God of Jacob.
L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. Hari'u l'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov. L'Elohei Yaakov.
Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied,
So here, the evening psalm, or the evening, we got to touch on time, because as Daniel prophecy says, they shall think to change laws, or they shall seek to change times and laws. You know, sometimes we say things because we hear things said a certain way and becomes like a trend, but then when we actually study, we say, no, it's actually opposite of the way we've been hearing it, such as they shall seek to change times and laws, times. So when we say evening, note in the first book of Moshe, you know, concerning the evening, it actually begins actually at the evening. You know, the evening and morning is one day. So we said the evening psalm, just to point out the evening, right there, you know, the evening, as the evening refers to, like, for example, the Shabbat, right? The beginning of the Shabbat is when? Some people say it's Saturday because that's the seventh day, but actually the beginning is Friday evening. Just to point that out there, when the evening, that reference. But today's daily psalm is important here for the theme, as we're counting the Omer, iritically or spiritually counting the Omer, in the second of the two Hebrew truths. In the first sense, is counting the growth of the crop when we enter into the land. In the Brit Chadasha sense, the new covenant sense, when we enter into the consciousness, we enter into the consciousness, right? The Moshiach, mindfulness. What's our point of reference here? Well, we go to Matthew Gospel, chapter 13, and we point to the parable of the sower. What is the parable of the sower referring to? Looking at today's, the evening psalm right here, which we chant here on this day, the fifth day, and this podcast we call the Upper Room of Zion, right? And the first verse here in the Hebrew, it says, for the chief musician or the leader upon Gittith. Most avoid that superscription part. But as we study to show ourselves approved, we recognize that in the ancient sense, in the previous sense, not nowadays, we just read the first verse. First verse which says, sing aloud to God our strength, shout to the God of Jacob. We leave out the part for the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. When we do that to our own heart, right? Because we see Gittith. What is Gittith? I don't know what Gittith is, but we need to learn what Gittith is. Here we have Lamanat Seyach, Al Ha Gittith, Le Asaph. And what about Asaph? Let's just break this down right here. Gittith. Gittith is first found in Psalm 8 within the Psalter. Now, there are two explanations that are often referred to, and we'll share this quickly right here, right? It says in Psalm 8, it says, Lamanat Seyach, Al HaGittith Mizmor LeDawi. For the leader, the Menatzeach, also the Menatzeach in the New Covenant sense is the word overcomer. So where we read in Revelation, the Hazon Yohanan, when it's talking about to he who overcomes, it's an interesting connection Hebraically with the Menatzeach in this sense, which is the chief of the musicians, right, the leader, but also the overcomer. La menatzeach, al upon ha-gittith, upon the gittith. Mizmor, psalm, a chant, we would say as Rastafari Isis, right? Mizmor le David, of David. David, David, love, has at its root love or well-beloved. Badada, David, yes? So upon gittith. So two explanations are possible. Alike based on certain of the Judaic tribe, right? We don't share this here, but we're going to bottom this out right here. The Targum, the word Targum, we see these words and say, oh, that's Jewish. Then we say, we're Judah, right? Well, let's study what does the word mean? Targum means interpretation, right? In other words, we read this here, even we sit together and we read in the psalm, and after we read it and we sing it and everything, and we sit down and what does it mean? What does it mean? You know, well, this psalm here, when he says this is we reason, come up with reason. So the interpretation, the targum, it connects the term Gittith or Gittith with the city of Gat, right? The city of Gat, right? Or the G and the T, you know, when we get in and look at the Hebrew, we can get to the roots, the etymology, right? City of Gath, right? This suggests, some say, a musical instrument or melody that some say may have had a Philistine or Philistine origin. So in looking at this superscription, that's often referred to as superscription or the title, some interpret the title via that, well, it's like, say, a musician, a singer, player of instrument among Rastafarian and roots and reggae and also in music. Like, for example, you say, like, to the selector, you know, I'm the performer here and I want to bring this tune forward. So I give instruction to the selector. I say, get that dub, you know, that rhythm. Or I speak to the band and say, put on that particular rhythm, you know, right there. This next tune I want to bring forward to the people. So play this tune, play that tune, play this melody, or bring forth that instrument or drum and bass or just the drum. You know what I'm saying? So some interpret that perhaps this is what, you know, the superscription is referring to. Now, the Midrash, the study, right, of the Psalms here, it sees a connection with the Hebrew Gat, right, or some would say Gath, right, G-A-T-H, or Gat. Now, Gat, what does Gat mean, or Gath? When we read it from the English, we'll say Gath, but in the ancient Hebrew, it'll be Gat, right, Gat, right? What does Gat mean? Gat, or Gath, means a wine press. Wine press. Reason for the season here? A wine press. Hence, some interpret this as a tune that is associated with vintage songs, right? With the vintage songs. It is said here in the notes that some modern scholars, they favor this second alternative, that we have Gittith here, when it says Al HaGittith, up on the Gittith, that this is referring to either vintage time, harvest time, wine press tunes, so forth and so on. That's from the notes on Psalm, the Mizmor Chet, or Psalm 8, right? The eighth Psalm, the paradox of man. But the evening Psalm here for the fifth day, Psalm 81, I'd like to share this right here because this kind of brings out the season that we are in right now. Right, coming to that 49th, the Sabbath day, Saturday, right, the Shabbat day will be the 49th day here in the count, right, and that would be the 11th of June, 2022, and for the 12th, that will correspond with the fulfillment or the Pentecost day, the 50th day, right, so that means here we are at the, what is it, the 47th, right, the 47th day of the count. So Psalm 81 is a festival meditation. A festival meditation. The ancient Hebrew and Judaic tradition, it connects the Psalm 81, Mizmor Fe Aleph, Pe Aleph, Psalm LXXXI, Psalm 81, with the harvest festival. What is the harvest festival? This is the Shavuot. Shavuot in the Hebrew, modern Hebrew, Shavuot, or weeks. It's often referred to as the Feast, the Festival of Weeks, which is a harvest festival. So some connect this Psalm 81, with the harvest festival. Also, we have tabernacles. Now, tabernacles, it is the seventh of the seven appointed feasts, the festivals of Hashem, of Jehovah, of Yahuwah, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name. This occurs in the seventh month of the year. This is a view that's accepted by some modern commentators and ones who study these things. Now, others prefer to associate it, the psalm here, with the Pesach, Fasica, with Passover. Why? Because of the mention of the Exodus that is found in in the King James Bible, be verse 5. In the Hebrew, it's verse 6. Reason why? Because we count the superscription as the first verse. But some say this may be less likely. But what is true is that the redemption from Mitzrayim or Egypt is conspicuous. It's conspicuous in Psalm 81. But that event, horizon or horizon, was the prelude, right? The prelude to the full development. Think about the growth of crops and growing. The full development of Ha'el, of the power, Ha'el Lahim, the power's goodness. that was to be discerned. How was the Almighty's goodness to be discerned? It was to be discerned in the possession of a fruitful country, producing abundant harvest, Thus, the command from Bikurim, from first fruits, that corresponds with the resurrection of Yeshua. So when Yeshua, according to the scripture, when he was risen, when he was risen, that corresponded with the Bikurim, the third of the seven feasts and festivals. And according to HaTorah, Leviticus chapter 23, from that time, we are to count, and Hebrews and observant and faithful Israelites would count, Torah observant Israelites would count, seven Shabbats complete, and then on the morrow after the seventh was the harvest festival. And what happened in that first year, according to the narrative, according to the scripture and the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament, this is when the Holy Spirit, right, the Ruach HaKadosh, descended upon those who are assembled together, man and woman and disciples and the mother of Yeshua HaMoshiach in the upper room of Zion. So the connection here with the harvesting. Now, there is an abrupt change in the evening psalm here, Psalm 81. There's an abrupt change of theme when we come to the KJV verse 7. KJV verse 7, for those looking at the Hebrew, it'll be verse the KJV verse 6, in the Hebrew verse 7. I go through this because not all of us are looking at the Hebrew, and we have both before us, but we like to get to the roots. When we look at verse 6 in your KJV, corresponding to verse 7 in the Hebrew, it says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. This has given rise to the hypothesis or hypothesis among some that what we have here in today's psalm or the evening psalm for Thursday, what we have here is two fragments that were joined together, like two tunes in a sense that were joined together. But there is a connecting thought. There's a connecting thought. So some things that we have in Psalm 81, two tunes, two chants, two psalms connected. So we can get to verse six in the KJV, verse 7. But there's a connecting thought. What's this connecting thought? That the psalmist, the chanter here is ascribed to Asaph. Asaph, his name actually means, and it links with Yehoshaph too when we get to the root, Asaph means the gatherer. Asaph means the gatherer, right? So the psalmist here should pass from a summons, right? He begins off with a summons to the celebration of the festival to a consideration of its spirituality, the significance of its spiritual religio significance. Now, I'm going to add the word religion there, even though a lot of ones are kind of, you know, there's a lot of confusion, especially since we're in English and what it means in Latin. But to the consideration, the spiritual significance of the feast of the festival. And there's a review of Yah's relation, his relationship to Yisrael. This is surely not unsuitable. It's not unsuitable for a festival hymn for the people to look at what is the relationship of the power with us, right, at this time in this season. Like we say, well, why are we observing this? You know, what is the significance of it? Is there any practical application, right? In view alike of the general commemorative purpose of the festival, commemoration, to call to mind, to remember, and of the particular fact that it was the occasion, seeing that it was an occasion for the septennial recitation of HaTorah. So here is looking at this psalm, Psalm 81, to refer to the harvest festival and to tabernacles. Now, we have two harvests, right, according to the Hebrew calendar and according to Torah. We have two rainy seasons, right, the first rains and the latter rains. So here what we're counting here in the harvest is the first of the two. Then when we come to the end of the ecclesiastical or the Hebrew churchical year in the seventh month with tabernacles, we have the second or the latter harvest. And it's at that latter harvest that was an occasion for the septennial, like every 7 years, the recitation of HaTorah, of Jah's direction and instructions. That was based upon that relationship. Just pointing out the relationship right here and to give a little more, you know, context to it as well. Well, we're going to look up right here, brothers and sisters. We'd like to get to the Gittis for a moment and just see what the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary says, right? So we read what they read. Don't mean we have to agree with what they say. If it don't make sense, I and we, and we have no points of reference. But if it does, then all the more better, right, as we grow in grace and that knowledge, right? So here, give me one moment, brothers and sisters, right here. Boom. We got it right here. A nice little, not too fat, but it's fat. You know what I mean? Interesting, because this is the fat of the lambs. You know, the fat harvest, you know, and I, you know, once lost, now found, we like to keep the fat, but anything fat, right? Seems like those are good ways of, so you see the connection, you see even how we use words in English when we know the true meaning, even in the Hebrew. So here we have Gittis, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Gittis, Gittis. We look at the point in Gittis, Gittis, right? Here it is said a string musical instrument, and it says from or of gas. From or of gas. Shouldn't we go to gas first? Let's go to gas. I'm going to scroll up here to gas first, right? Because we do due diligence in the beginning. We don't have to worry about the end, right? It's just a new beginning, right? Here. So we have gas. Let's get gas right here. G-A-T-H, gas. Where's gas? There we go, gas. Gas or got in the Hebrew, got in the Afro-Shemitic enunciation, got. Right, gas, got, right? Wine press. Hebraically, gas, wine press. Wine vat. And then they have fortune, right? Fortune. I put a strong quotation mark around that because Fortuna is a god of heathen people. So, you know, we got to just keep that in mind right there. But fortune for now. It was a city of the Philistines, the Philistines. Interesting. I was just watching something the other day on, you know, on one of these movie series site, and somebody had called the other person. They were talking about some cultural thing. He was looking at some art, and he was describing the art. What was that? Was that Strike Force? Yeah, I was checking out that. Yeah. Like those kind of shows sometimes. But anyway, they were looking at the art, and he was talking about, oh, this is modern expressionism. One soldier was saying to the next soldier, right? And the next soldier wasn't all into that and everything. And because the next soldier wasn't into so-called high culture and everything, the other soldier called him a Philistine. And then I remember that if you look up Philistine is used in the English nowadays to say that somebody is without culture. It's just interesting point just to share right here. Because Gat was a city of the Philistines. And then according to some of the notes, they say that, well, maybe there was a melody that the Hebrews or the Israelites had heard. Like we might hear, you know, even today musically, we may hear music out there, right? Even many of the Hebrew and the Rastafari artists, you may hear like a melody somewhere out there. And we may just, as we say, we may jack up the melody. We may jack the melody, you know what I mean? But we'll put different words, different relics on it. So you see how this might be actually the reality of this, because it's still something that is done in principle, over personality, in principle now. So Gath was a city of the Philistines in 1 Samuel, 1 Shemuel chapter 5, verse 8, and Amos chapter 6, verse 2. Metaphysically, that was the physical of it. The physical of it, a city of the Philistines. Metaphysically speaking, Gath was represent, according to the second of the two truths, a group of thoughts in the sense consciousness, that aspect of our self that's a sense, right? Because even the sensual, like even the five senses. Remember the parable that Robeno gave? He talked about the woman, there was like five wise, five foolish. Remember that right there, the five wise, the five foolish, right? And then in the Kevra Neges, it tells us that there are 10 faculties in man. Five wise and five foolish. So we make that connection right there. Then notice we have our five senses, right? You know, our five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. You know, we can do that naturally, right? And we also have our five spiritual senses, So I propose to you that in the parable of our master, Rabbeinu Yeshua HaMoshiach, when he spoke about the five wise and the five foolish, right, the wise ones, right, was like those spiritual senses. And the foolish senses is like our carnal senses. For example, question, do you see because you have eyes, or do you have eyes because you see? Something that first duly elected international chaplain had said to me first a couple of days ago, who's reasoning, and he was saying something about the third eye. Heal up, Rasimah. Yes, I, Rastafari. He's saying something about the whole thing about the third eye thing. He said he just didn't, you know, when you hear something, you say, yeah, I know that's how it's said, but something is like the spirit in the innermost of the inner man, you know, that small, still voice is talking to you. So you got to search it out. He's talking about the third eye thing. Why did he say the third eye? He said to I, as he explained it just briefly and brought, if you want to come and bring it forward in the full of full, yes, I, you don't know. All right. But what I got out of it, and hopefully I articulate this correctly, is that it really should be the what's called the third eye should be the first eye. So why? Why what we call the third eye should be the first eye? Well, he shared with I that actually, did you know that in the matrix, you know, in the womb, right, that in the embryo, right, that actually the third eye is the first, what's called the third eye, quote unquote, is actually the first eye to develop. See, that's the wise eye. But see, what's the difference between the wise senses, right, the wise use of our senses and the foolish use of our senses? Well, according to Rabbeinu, it's the oil in the lamp, right? Now, according to the Hebrew teaching, right, and the Yehudi teaching, we know that oil is a symbol. We have oil, natural oil, but oil is a symbol of spirit, having that spirit. And here, as we count the Oma and count the growth and count the fruit, you know, the fruit of the spirit, you know, the fruit of the spirit here in this season, you know what I mean? What was the outpouring in that harvest, right, in that year when it was announced that he is risen? That harvest was the Holy Spirit. So once again, gas. Gas, metaphysically speaking, a group, on the eyes, so the third eye should be the first eye, right? And then the two other eyes, they develop later on, right? So we have it kind of backwards there, right? Just for your consideration. Gas, metaphysically speaking, is a group of thoughts in the sense consciousness of man that believes, that admits, that credit, that accepts as truth, right? That believes in trial. So we have a group of thoughts in our sense consciousness, right, as human beings that believe or that accepts as truth. That's what belief really is. You, like, you credit something, you accept as truth. No, you don't really know. But when you know, you can say you know. But if you believe something, right, you accepting as truth, you credit it. But there's many people who believe, right, in trial. They believe in trial, you know, like trial by fire, trial. They believe in trial. And this is where the sense of the wine press aspect of gas comes in. Because if you know anything about the wine press, see, many of us might not know because, you know, we're in the cities and we're outside of that country vibe and we're not doing those things that our ancestors did, you know, maybe hundreds or even thousands of years ago, presently, right? But when you make wine, right, you just go to the store, the liquor store, wherever, and you just buy a bottle, buy whatever you want if you got the money, so forth and so on. But if you grow the grapes, you know, if you really look at the whole process of it, in the wine press is where you're mashing out the grapes, you know, in order to, you know, make the wine. So therefore, this is now the metaphysical idea of GAF being a group of thoughts in the sense consciousness of man that believes in trial, believes in that wine press pressing. You got to press it. You got to squeeze the grapes. You got to squeeze out the juice, squeeze. And that idea of the squeezing is that trial aspect. And they look up on all experiences from the standpoint of seeming trial and suffering. You know, there's many of us do have a perspective of life, could be because of what we experience, circumstances make me what I am. You remember that? You know, like what we have to go through, this is what, you know, makes us what we are. So some of us, right, and this is not so much a right or wrong, just looking at the science of it, looking at the manifest. Some look upon all experiences from a standpoint of seeming trial and suffering. You know, some even say that it's adversity that makes man, you know, that makes real man. That real man are made by adversity. And the opposite, well, makes the opposite, right? Thus, it causes the one who gives heed to it, right, to become conscious of that which appears to be evil. Right? So if you look at all life, you just numbers, trial and tribulation and suffering. Then therefore, if you're in that sort of conscious mind and you have an aggregation of thoughts, you know, okay, spirits or thoughts in you that has that point of view, then you become conscious of that which appears to be evil, right? When he, right, and we, right, should be busy seeing sight from that you know, from the sense with that anointing, you know, the oil in our lamp. We should be busy seeing, right, and believing and crediting, right, admitting in, right, or believing in good only, or at least, according to the teaching of His Majesty, good over evil. Remember, it's upon the getith. All on top of, higher than, on, up on, all high good teeth, that we should be busy seeing and believing in good only, in good over evil, and thus coming into a consciousness. This is the real Moshiach, or Christ consciousness, Moshiach mindfulness, which says, let this mind be in you. A consciousness of Baraka, right, of Baraka, or let's say blessing, of increase, of prosperity, aspect of all his overcoming, of all his and I and I overcoming. Remember what we said from the start, right? Where it says, Al Hagatit, right? Al Hagatit, yes? So here. Now let's go to Gatit for a moment. A little expanded here, brothers and sisters, but necessary here in the season. So we have Gatit. As it says, Gatit, as we have in the superscription to the evening psalm here for this Upper Room of Zion Thursday, right? We have Psalm 81 in the superscription. It'll be upon Gatith. We're asking the question, what is Gatith? Right? A string musical instrument, some say, from or of Gath. We just went through Gath previously. So just rewind, just pick up on that right there. Now, Gatith is thought, right, to have been a musical instrument made at a place called Gath. Remember, Gath was a Philistine city, but Gath also means wine press, where you press out the grapes to make the wine, get the juice out of it, squeeze out the juice. Or else, the title of certain of the psalms that were sung during the time of gathering grapes and making wine. Now, some reason that, well, these psalms here that have Gittith in the superscription were chants, were Isis, were songs that were sung, just like many of our ancestors here in this north country, the Beta Israel here in captivity, even the plantation sung those songs like the Lion of Judah and other songs we sung while we were, you know, reaping down their field. Oh, stay tuned for Psalm 129, Havarim. That psalm right there, it has a lot to do with this same, you know, harvest, you know what I mean? And sometimes when going through harvesting and farming and sowing the land, it's a struggle. You know, as was said to Adam, according to the scripture, by the sweat of thy brow, you eat thy bread. So certain of these psalms were said to be sung during the time of gathering grapes and also during the time of making wine. You can't do both at the same time. First you gather the grapes, then afterwards you make the wine. Which psalms are these? Psalms 8, Psalm 81, and Psalm 84. These three psalms, this trinity of psalms, Psalm 8, Psalm 81, and Psalm 84, all have Gittith. And then to study, well, does it have anything to do with harvest or anything like that? That's the five cycle of Gittith, here to the metaphysical, right? The second of the two truths. In Hebrew, when you really get to the core of the science, we know there's the two truths. There's literal, like words can have a literal, physical, right, natural, and then can have like an outer and have an inner, have a physical and a metaphysical, right, type. So metaphysically speaking, we're speaking about Gittith, we're speaking about soul refinement. We see what Gittith was speaking about soul, psyche, refinement. A note here spirit and soul is not the same. Spirit and soul, ideally, together in the proper order, is like the marriage of the Lamb, like the bride and the bridegroom. But spirit and soul is not the same. Just to put that right there, we often confuse this because we're among the Gentiles, you know, and there's Babylon, and Babylon's confusion. But we have to study to show ourselves approved and know the truth. So Gittith is soul refinement through seeming trial. Again, Gittith is soul refinement, refining I and I soul. She's refining the soul, psychic refinement through what seems to be trial, like trial and tribulation. The deep peace and harmony into which the soul enters after a seeming conflict has been experienced because of the flow of new life, new liberty, say the spirit into consciousness, and the consequent quickening and resurrecting of all the forces of the organism into the renewedness of life. So grapes, right, suggest life. And wine also stands for the life of the spirit with its renewing power. Whenever a great quickening, now the word quickening in its true context is giving life to. It doesn't mean just being fast, like physically. But quickening really means like life-giving. That's the sense of giving life to. So just keep that in mind so that, you know, it can be applicable. Whenever a great quickening, giving life, you know, like lively up yourself. You know, you're down and somebody comes along and says something that make you, like your spirit come back. Great quickening takes place in man before error is fully overcome. And the consciousness is thoroughly purified, right? Purified, Niki Kapayi Mubar Leba, right? Clean hands, a pure, purified heart, right? And the consciousness is thoroughly purified. He seems to be stimulated to unrighteousness as well as to good. You ever been there? Where you seem to be stimulated to unrighteousness as well as to good? This is where the apparent travail or the trial comes in. It is in the overcoming, la menatzeach, to the overcomer, the chief musician, to the overcomer. It is in the overcoming and rising above the apparent limitations of sense. You know, getting some oil into your lamp so you can keep the fire burning. When this is accomplished, great harmony and shalom and peace reigns in the soul, in the psyche. Then it has known before, and the soul radiates this harmony to the whole organism. Thus, the soul really becomes a musical, the soul, the nefesh, she becomes a musical instrument for divine, for divine service and truth. Point came to mind, I heard the small still voice, let's see if I can share this right here, the part about overcoming. You know, how when you're going through some things, sometimes you feel like you can't speak, you really can't sing. But sometimes, you know, you ever kind of sing or chant, you know, something that's up for, and it helps your whole spirit and your soul get quickened. You feel you get that power in you. But then sometimes it's almost like, you know, sing a song, right? An up for song. Sometimes ones and ones, because they're going through that trial and tribulation, it's almost like proverbially something got their tongue. But if they can loosen that tongue and sing, it's like in the word, sound, and power, there's an overcoming. You know, so overcoming that trial, that travail, is like the opening of the mouth, speaking that word, singing that song, chanting that chant. And this may also point to why many of our ancestors, in going through the trials and tribulation, right, of the plantation, were even singing. You know what I mean? They were singing while they were sowing. You know what I mean? Singing while they were sowing. And we of this generation, you know, we of this generation is like the reapers, you know. You know, we are reaping that which we had not sown. Yes, I. Rastafari. So here, just a little overview, looking at the time right here. We're already into the 43 minute mark right here. wanted to share that overflow, right? Wanted to share that overflow right here. We might hold it for a moment because today's daily psalm, Psalm 129, it actually connects very intimately, right, with the theme here, both the reason for the season, the counting of the omer, the harvest, the new covenant sense in the upper room, in the upper room of Zion. And let's give an overview right here, Psalm 129, right? Psalm 129. But first, it's right here. Hear the psalm. Plain chant. Yes, sir.
Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Rastafari is Almighty. Rastafari is Almighty. Ever living, ever paid for. Ever sure. Ever living, ever paid for. Ever sure. Ever living, ever paid for. Ever sure. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he's King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he's King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he's King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. Yeah, he's the only King of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our only future. Hey, yo! Hey, yo!
Mother Rapier, so true, so true, Kalanji. You know, the king of the Sabbath and the Sabbath of Shabbat is I and I on the future. And we look at the prophecy, you know, of that kingdom age. You know, that's what we said, that the Shabbat command, yeah, Sabbath was made for man, but that's a test command right there, there, there. Here, 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 we have a sufferer's plea, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, right? Hebraically, in the Hebrew alphanumerics, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm CXXIX, right, Psalm 129. We have a sufferer's, or we have here, here, here is a sufferer's, it's deemed a sufferer's plea. Ibn Ezra had held that the psalm, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm 129, it relates to the Babylonian captivity. And our captivity now also in the prophecy is also a Babylonian-type captivity, a view that is accepted by many martyrs. Others connect it with the troublous times of Nehemiah. It has affinities, some say, with Psalm CXXIV, which would be Psalm 124, which probably belongs to that period. Others argue in favor of a pre-exilic date. So some others say that actually from their study of the psalm, it seems to have been before the exile, while others in viewing the psalm and how do I see the psalm based on studying it, right? Some see it was before the exile, pre-exilic date. Others say it was during the Babylonian and relates to the Babylonian captivity or after that time. And some relate the psalm to the attack upon Yerushalayim, upon Jerusalem, by Sennacherib, right? And all this is historically factual too, as well. You know, I think even the Assyrians, you know, the Assyrians, they talk about this, and they even, you know, draw our ancient people on the wall monuments. You see their locks, you know, and they're woolly here. But anyway, right here, 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 so we have a sufferer's plea. So the time that we have here, we'd like to go through the Royal Amharic, you know, firstly, foremostly, and then get into the Hebrew study of this. We're already in the Hebrew right now, but I'd like to kind of, you know, just share right here, here, here. Are ye not as children, the Ethiopian or the Neo children of Israel? Here we have the native speaker, Abraham Chebudet, from the King of Kings Bible, the line of the tribe of Judah Bible right here, Book of the Seven Seals amongst the KJV. Here we have on the world rhythm, that rhythm there. Well, you'll hear it right here, here, here. Yes, I. Rastafari. Stay tuned. Oh. Come.
مزمور متو هيا سمنت بك انف متو هيا زدي يما اراج مزمور اسرائيل كتنشنتي جمرو بزوجزي تسلفو بني بل كتنشنتي جمرو بزوجزي تسلفو بني نگر جن على الشنفو نيم هات اعتن يوش بجرباي لاي متون هات اعتاكشونم ماسرز زموات اجزياب هيرت عادقنو يهات اعتن يوشين انجتاكشون قررتا ጽዮንን የሚጠሉ ሁሉ ይፈሩ ወደ ኋላቸውም ይመለሱ በሰገነት ላይ እንደበቀለ ሳር ሳይነቀል እንደሚደርቅ ለሚያጭደው እጁን ነዶቹንም ለሚሰበስብ እቅፉን እንደማይሞላ ይሆኑ በመንገድም የሚያልፉ የእግዚአብሔር በረከት በእናንተ ላይ ይሁን በእግዚአብሔር ስምን መርቃችኋለን አይሉ
Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
مزمور متو هيا سمنت بك انف متو هيا زدي يما اراج مزمور اسرائيل كتنشنتي جمرو بزوجزي تسلفو بني بل كتنشنتي جمرو بزوجزي تسلفو بني نگر جن على الشنفو ني هات اعتن يوش بجرباي لاي متون هات اعتا چونم ماسر الزموان اجزياب هيرت عادقنو يهات اعتن يوشين انگتا چون قررتا ጽዮንን የሚጠሉ ሁሉ ይፈሩ ወደ ኋላቸውም ይመለሱ በሰገነት ላይ እንደበቀለ ሳር ሳይነቀል እንደሚደርቅ ለሚያጭደው እጁን ነዶቹንም ለሚሰበስብ እቅፉን እንደማይሞላ ይሁኑ በመንገድም የሚያልፉ የእግዚአብሔር በረከት በእናንተ ላይ ይሁን በእግዚአብሔር ስምን መርቃችኋለን አይሉ
Ailu. Yes. So here, Royal Amharic, you're going to ride out with today's daily psalm, then get into some of the roots, the Meseretawi Kwankwa, as Negus Neges, Kadamau Halaslasi refers to Hebrew as a foundational language, even in the preface to the book of the seventh seal. So right here, we have Mizmor Meto. So here it is, it's right up right here.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear.
So right here, we have today's daily psalm. So let's go through some of the basics right here. Today's daily psalm in the Royal Amharic. Stay tuned for the Hebrew, the Midrash right here. We have Mezmor, Bamarinya. We say Mezmor in the Hebrew. We have Mezmor from Zamar, Zemre, which means to chant. And also in the ancient a zamar, zemre is a witness, so a psalm, a chant, musically speaking, eyes is intonation, but also in the ancient chant, a psalm can be a witness as well. But we have mezmor here, meto haya zeten. Here we're going to actually go from our printing here from 2011, the 400 year, right, of the KJV Bible, and we find that the only two kings, King James and the King of Kings, Haile Selassie, in history at least, what we found in history, actually fulfilled what the Torah says that kings upon the throne that say that they have divine right to rule should do concerning the scriptures, the holy scriptures. So here we put them side by side in the Mezmor Dawit, Psalm of David, a parallel Bible version containing one volume, both the 1611 AD English KJV and the Ethiopian King of Kings 1961 AD Amharic text, which was originally published by Moah Anbesas and Negeri Yehuda. The lion of the tribe of Judah have prevailed. Karmawi Karmawi Haile Selassie, His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie I, Yumek Ziavia, elect of God, Negusa Negeze Ethiopia. So here, the HIM Bible version and the KJV, the HSV and the KJV side by side. Have a few introductions, annotations, and commentary here. This was from the Special Jubilee printing in 2011. Looking forward to doing a revision, an update, you know, maybe add a few more notes and a few typos here or there, but overall, a very good reference, you know, point for I and I study. So here we have Psalm 129. Psalm 129 is one of the songs of ascents. As we find in the superscription here, Bamarinya, in that pure language, it defines the pure language from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Ye me'arig mezmor. This corresponding to the Hebrew, the Shir Ha Ma'alot. Shehama elot ma'alot, aliyah, to go up, ma'ari. Here we have a song of ascent. So Psalms 120 to Psalm 134 are referred to as ascension psalms. There are the group of 15 psalms, right, that are introduced, right, in the Hebrew with shir ha ma'alot, shir ha ma'alot. Shir, a song, ha, the ma'alot, ma'alot, of the going up, of the ascent. To put this in context, when the pilgrims, especially in the three times of the year, the Hebrew, the Israelites, the Torah observant, right, pilgrims will be pilgrimaging, right, in the three times in the year, there were songs, there were chants that as ones would be moving in a throng in a crowd, you know, meeting up on the road, you know, and would be singing songs. And as they would be climbing the mountain, right, the mountain to Mount Zion and a little further up at a little higher elevation was Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, where the temple was. So literally in the pilgrimage, we would reach Mount Zion, the castle, the city of David. And then a little bit higher, at a slightly higher elevation, was where Shlomo, Solomon, son of David, built the temple of Yerushalayim. And that is Mount, you know, that is, you know, Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is a little higher height. So when we would pilgrimage, the first stop that we would stop at would be Mount Zion, before we continue the tribe, right, for the Holy Feast Festival Day to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, and particularly to Mount Moriah. That was where the temple was built, according to the scripture. So there were 15 psalms, and it is said, and from our study seems to make the best sense contextually, historically speaking, that they would chant these psalms, and these psalms were even listed as psalms for going up. For the going up. So when we say the aliyah. In the Hebrew, the word for ascent or degrees, the same word, you know, we could look at the word as ascent, right, or degree, right, means literally to go up. And as a verb, this word was used and still is used and should be used by us, once lost, now found, in reference to the return or the aliyah, the Aliyah, right? The return, the going up, the return from the Babylonian captivity, according to Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. Thus, the idea and suggestion is that these 15 psalms were sung by the happy homecoming exilus, or the Falashim, Falashimor. Falasha means one who's in exile, you know, as they approach the Holy Land and Mount Jerusalem and the Holy City. So the idea of going up, the common use of this term ascent, going up, to go up, it denotes pilgrimage to Jerusalem on the annual three festivals, namely Passover, harvest, and the ingathering at the end of the year or in the seventh month, the seventh moon. As the pilgrims ascended the Holy Mount of Zion, it was these songs, these chants that were on their lips and in their hearts, heartically speaking. A good example of this is found in Psalm 121, verse 1, 122, verse 1, 132, verse 13. You know, however, most of the other Jewish commentators have conceded that they are unable to advance any theory or explanation for this group of psalms. It's kind of ironic, really, but we, the black Jews of the line of the tribe of Judah, we can advance and look at the Hebrew, especially since Hebrew is Afro-Asiatic, right? But they cannot advance or explain any theory it is written for this group of psalms, a common feature or theme that will account for the special superscription, a song of ascents. Right. But we have. So here, just that kind of context there. So one can understand the context of these psalms. So when you read a song of ascents, a song of degrees, and then you recognize, oh, these are psalms that they were chanting, 15 psalms, like the 15 steps, you know, oh, it makes sense. So here, Besim Ha'ab, what little manifest could do, Sahadu Amlak, Basham Ha'ab. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we be the one here. Mezmor Meto Haya Zetain. Here from the Metzav Kedus, Mezmor Dawit Meto Haya Cement. The Kinfwist Meto Haya Zetain. So originally the psalm was 128th psalm, but in the modern Bibles, the later Bibles, it's 129. Yem Arig Mezmor, a song of going up. Of going up, a chant, a psalm of ascent. KJV Bible, a song of degrees. This psalm is seen, Ben Sion, Telatoch Lai, Yekarebe Felot. Ben Sion, Telatoch Lai, Sion Zion. Ben Sion, on Zion, Telatoch, enemies lie above. Bringing out the translation to the English, Bezion Telatoch Lai, upon or against, up on or against the enemies, Telatoch, the haters of Zion, against the haters of Zion, Bezion Telatoch Lai, Yekarebe, as you have in the Hebrew, Karab, right? Karebe, that which is presented, that which is brought near, Yekarebe Felot, a prayer that is brought near against the enemies, against the haters of Zion. Yema Arig Mezmor, Kuteran, verse 1. Israel, Katanishnete Jamro, Bizugize, Teselefubin, Yibel. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, Israel, Amorinya, Israel, Ka Tinish, small, Tinishnete, from my small time, to say when I was small, my youth, Ka Tinishnete, from my youth, Jemro, starting from my youth, or since my youth, starting from when I was a youth, when I was small, Ka Tinishnete, Jemro, Bizul Gize, Bizul, like Nuff, Gize, time, Bizul Gize, Nuff time, many times, Bizul Gize, Teselefu, they have warred, right? They afflict, to say they afflict, but here in the sense only they war, Teselefu, beam, right? They war against me, bringing out the translative sense. They afflict me. They've afflicted me to celestial being. Yibel, Yibel, Yibel. Let him say, let him say. Israel, Israel, Katanishnate Jimbro, Bizugize to celestial being. Yibel, let Israel say. May Israel say, may Yisrael say, enough time, many a time have they afflicted I and I from my youth, since I was small. Kuter Hulet, verse 2. Katanishnete Jemro, Bizugize, to celestial being, Negargin, Allah Shenefu Nim. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. They have not won, in other words. They have not won. They have not conquered in that sense. Katanishnate Jemro, so this phrase here, Katanishnate Jemro, starting from when I was small, in a sense, starting from when I was my youth, when I was small. Bizugize, enough time, bizu, many, gize, many time, bizugize, to selefu being. They have afflicted I, warred against I, negargin, but on the other hand, Allah shenefu, they have not won, they have not conquered. They have not, they beat me, but they have not won. They have not prevailed. Allah shenefu nim. They have not prevailed me. They have not prevailed against me. They have not beat me, in other words. Beat I and I. Kutar source, verse 3. Khatiatenyoch bejarbaye lai metun. Khatiatachunim asa rezemu at. The plow was plowed up on my back. They made long their furrows. Chatiatenyoch. Right? So here. It's interesting right here, just to compare and contrast right here. What do we have in the Hebrew? The chataim, right? The chataim here in the Royal Amharic, the chatiatenyoch, the sinners, those who fall short, who miss the mark. Right, the Uckers, Chatiatenyoch, Be, Jerbaye, Lai, Jerbaye, my back, Be, Jerbaye, Lai, the phrase is upon my back, Be, Jerbaye, Lai, the Uckers, the sinners, right, up on my back, Metun, Meta in the Hebrew, right, Meta in the Hebrew is like the Naka, or meta and amharic, like the naka, to hit. Metun. They have hit I. The sinners, the uckers, right? Here doesn't have plowers plowed in that sense, but here bringing out even a new covenant sense that the sinners upon my back, they hit my back, right? They hit my back. Chati atacho winim. Their uckery, their sin, their lack, their fookery, their uckery, hatiatacho in them, as resemu, they have increased it, resume, to make long, as causing it to be long, as resemu, they cause it to be long, at, they cause it to be long, her, they cause it to be long against her, they cause it to be long. Right, they made long their furrows. Now, when we look at the direct sense of the Hebrew here, the furrows, this reminds me of that picture. I forget the brother's name. There's two pictures like that. If you look up some of what happened to our ancestors over here, especially in the Americas, where the man show his back, and his back have all those furrows, those whelps against it, right? But if you look at how one could beat somebody with a cord, like our people were beat on the plantation, and you look at their back. In fact, that's a good meme. Somebody do this meme if you ever already done or shit, if you see it out there. Take the back of the black man, right? Of course, they were women, but we have some pictures of black men that were whipped with the whips. The whips against my back is what this psalm is bringing out in the prophetic sense. And then compare that to the tracks of the ground. So when it says furrows in the English, it's like the tracks of the ground. You know, like when you see corn or crops growing and they have even rows, they made these rows. In other words, those are the furrows, the deep part. You know, the deep parts, where you make the deep part in the ground and we put the seed, you know, in there so it can get good root and the water can settle there so it can grow. Yeah, but this is what they did against our backs. So a good word pick will be like a split screen, in other words, where you see one who had the back plowed up by the whip. You know what's interesting just on this point right here? Some of y'all may have seen that Mel Gibson movie, The Color. That was Brother Gene Lamar, who I and I went to school with. Hail up Gene Lamar, The Color of the Cross. But no, the other movie, the Mel Gibson movie, the one Passion of the Christ. And you remember the part where he was whipped, like many of us was whipped on the plantations and everything, many of our ancestors, you know, we feel it for them because they be we and we be they. But anyway, but we be here in this reality. So the split screen to kind of show, you know, right there, but many people said that when they saw that, you know, like many of these Christians, this is the hypocrisy of counterfeit Christianity, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christianity. They saw that movie, The Passion of Christ, and he saw the Mel Gibson character playing a Caesar Borgia's type of Christ, right? A Christ character, right, Bob? So they whipped his back, right? And they said it was so brutal. A lot of people, they were so touched. Oh, how they whipped our Lord. I said, Chan, these hypocrites. You know what I mean? Because basically, this is what really happens. So when you look at that movie there, though it's special effects and all that, you know, for effect, you know, if that bothers you, you know, whether you are Jew or Gentile, that's what they have done. And that's what this is speaking about here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 129, particularly verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. And in other words, here it's taking a literal furrow from the ground, as a plower will plow the ground and make deep tracks in the ground, that when they whipped us on our backs, our ancestors, they made these deep tracks, so deep sometimes the skin fell off. The wheels extended a long way across the back, evidencing what? What was that the evidence of? The extreme brutality of the down presser man. So let's go to Kuter Arat, verse 4. Exiavir Fadik no. Yehat eten yochin. Angetachowin. Warate. Wow. The Lord here, KJV, so the Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Bamarinya in the King of Kings Bible, right, in the Lion of Judah Bible, Revelation 5:5, we have right here, Kutarat, Exiavir, the sustainer, Yahweh, he who be, we be, Tzadik, righteous, Nawu, he is, he be, Exiavir, Tzadik, no, the sustainer is righteous, Yehat Yaten Yochin, the sinners, notice here, in the King of Kings Bible, instead of saying the plowers in this sense, now it brings them out as they were the uckers, right? The uckers, and you know what I mean, right? The uckers, they were the fornicators under the crown of the king, calling themselves Christian. You know what I mean? Yehat yaten yochin, right? The sinners, angetachowin, their necks. So here we have the anget, right? Anget, angetachowin, warete. He has cut their necks. KJV bringing out more of the, we would say, the foundational Hebrew sense, but here in the King of Kings Bible, bringing out the New Covenant sense, we can even say, the neck of the sinners, their neck, the sinners, they all have one neck. He's not saying their necks, but like all the sinners, plural, they have one neck, quarete, and Exiavi, Yahuwah, Jehovah, has cut it. Kuter Arat, again, Exiavi, Tzadik, no. Yechat eten yochin, angetachowin, quarete. Kuter Amis, verse 5. Sionin, yemitalu, hulu, yifaru, wodecholachowim, yimelesu. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion, that hate Zion, all them that hate her. Zionin, Zion, Zionin, Yemitalu, the haters, they who hate, Yemitalu, Hulu, all, Yifaru, Yeferu. Yeferu here is like, let them be afraid. You know, let them be afraid. Let them fear. May they fear. Yeferu. Right? May they be reverent in that sense. You know, may they respect. Right? Sionin yamida talu hulu yeferu. They can't respect and just let them be afraid. What a chwala chowim. What a towards chwala. Chwala. As achir in the Hebrew, chwala means the back. Chwala cho, their back. Chwala chowim, and their back. Water, chwala chowim, and towards their back. Yemelesu, yemelesu. May they return. Let them return backward. Let them go backward. Let them return backward. Sionin yemiat aluhulu, yeferu. Water, chwala chowim, yemelesu. Yemelesu. Kuter. Verse 6. Let them make them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Segenet, like the housetop, almost like a veranda, housetop. Segenet line. In the Bekelesar, Bekele. You know, like the grass that sod is the grass, you know, as the grass that sprout up. Sai Nekel, and Dini Derek. May it wither, may it dry up. Right? In other words, may it dry up in that sense. Sai Nekel, you know, before it's even harvested in a sense. Sai nekel in the midarek. Be segnet lay in the bek elasar. Sai nekel in the midarek. Let them, make them be as grass upon the housetop, which withereth. The withereth is like dry up in the midarek. Right? Become derek in the midarek. That drieth up before it groweth or before it's even harvested. You know, let it dry, let it rot. You know, Kutar Sabbat, verse 7. Lemi yachadoa ijun, nedoo chun, bemiya sebesiba ikufun and lemaya mula yuhunu. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Lemi yachadoa ijun. So the mower here would be like the reaper. Right, the reaper, right, for the one who reaps Iju, his hand. Lemi ayachado Ijun, for the reaper's hand. Nedowo chun, lemi sebesiba ikofun. Okay, here, nedo, the nedowo, which is like the sheaves, for the one who gathers. Lemi sebesib, for the gathering. Ikofun, the embrace. In the Maya Mola, right, in the Maya Mola. Does not fill. He does not fill a yuhunu. So bringing out the sense of wherewith the reaper filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth, that embraceth, to say bindeth sheaves. You know, like when they grab up like the wheat or whatnot, you know, and you see them like carrying all the stalks like close to their chest. That's the sense of a nedowochun, right? Nedowochun, the sheaves, the nedo, right? The nedowochun. Lemia sebesiba ikfu, right? Ikfu is like the bosom, right? To say to embrace the bosom. Ikfun in the my mola. Mola is the fill, like mela in the Hebrew, mulu in the Amharic, mela mola in the my mola, as that which does not fill, like he doesn't fill his ikfu, his bosom. Yehunu, let them be, may they become. Kuter cement, verse 8. Kuter cement, the men and the miyalfu, egazia vihera berreketa benante laya yuhun, be egazia viher sema in a merkach hualen, ailum. Neither do they that go by say, the baraka, the blessing, the bereket of the gziavi, the sustain of Yahuwah, be up on you. We bless you in the name of Igziavi, the name of Yahuwah, in the name of the sustainer. Here, be men gedum, yemi yalfu. Men ged is way. Bemen Gedum, and in the way, and in his way, and in the way, Yemi Yalfu. Alefeh, Yalefeh, Yemi Yalfu, to pass, like the passengers, the passersby, the pedestrians, we can even say, the pedestrians in the way, like on the way, right? The pedestrians on the street, so to say, the pedestrians in the way. But Men Gedum, Yemi Yalfu, this bringing out the sense of neither do they which go by, say, Ye Geziabia Barraket, Benantelai Yehun. Yeah, Gziabi here, Gziabi, the sustainer, Bereket, the sustainer, Yahweh, Jehovah's Bereket, his increase, his prosperity, right? King James, that they translate as blessing, but we did a vid why, you know, we have caution, but we still refer to it here for simple point of reference, but more better the increase, the prosperity of the sustainer, of the Almighty. Yeah, Gziabi, Bereket. The bereket of the sustainer, be enante lai. Enante is to say like you all. Enante hulachu, like all of y'all, right? Be enante lai upon all of y'all, yehun. Let it be. Be egziabi herasim. Sim, corresponding to the Shem, the Hashem, the Shem, the name Shem in the Hebrew. Here, Bamarinya and Amharic, we have Sim, right? Sim, be egziabi herasim. The sim of the sustainer, the name of the sustainer, in Merk Achechualen. Merk is almost like the congratulations, but it also means graduation. It has a sense of graduation. We congratulate you in Merk Achechualen, right? Last word, Ailum, they don't say. Ailum, they don't. So the verb we have here at the end, they will not say who? The men gadum yemiyalfu, those who pass by along the way won't say, yeah, gziabia barraket benantelai yichun, begziabia sim emarkach chualen, ailum. So here, yes, sir, to get into some more of the details here. A little bit of time here. Got 6 minutes, y'all, before we write off the Hebrew, so we can get into some of the Midrash, the study, and get more of the full of the context, right, even here in the season. Just a little bit right here. Neither do they that go by say, the men gedum imiyalfu, right? We learn from Ruth. Now, Ruth, coming up for harvest, the fourth of the seven feasts, the festival that we're looking forward, first day, Sunday, right here, the Feast of the Holy Spirit in the Upper Room of Zion. What we learn from Ruth is one of the books that are from the ancient times were appointed to be read during the harvest season. So the Megillah, actually not the book, but the scroll. We say the Megillah. The Megillah is a scroll, right? The Megillah, right? The scroll of Cherut, right, of Ruth, or Cherut, right, is read during this particular season right here. So we learn from Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, that it was customary. It was the custom, the tribe, the tradition for a passerby, a pedestrian, to address a baraka, we say blessing in the English, an invocation of prosperity and increase, a baraka, or quote, a blessing to the reapers, such as Yahuwah, such as Jehovah be with you, such as he who be, or Berkat Yahuwah Elekem, Berkat Yahuwah Elekem, Berkat, the blessing of Yahuwah, Yahuwah, Berkat Yahuwah Elekem, the blessing of he who be upon you. But no baraka, no invocation of prosperity or increase of Hailahim, of the source of the power, can be invoked upon men and people engage upon work of so malicious a character. You get this psalm right here. This psalm, basically, though it is couching the agricultural sense as what would happen throughout the years on the land, here it has a prophetic sense that what they did to us, even over here over this 400 years, was like what ones would do to the ground, right? And therefore, no one should bless, you know, they say, they say, blah, 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 bless America, ka, ka. Yeah, That's what this is saying. No baraka of Elohim can be invoked upon men, at least the men and people, because the country is just the land. The earth is the Lord. So it's upon the men and the people who are engaged upon work of so malicious a character to say, we bless you. We invoke prosperity and increase upon you in the name of Yahweh. Hey, can we say that to such ones? In ordinary circumstances, and among I and I, the prayer would imply, right, when we do say to one and one, even in this season, this time, I and I bless the I and I invoke a word sound of increase and prosperity in the name of the Almighty upon you. The prayer here is, may Elohim, may the power prosper your work, prosper the work of your hands. But in connection with today's daily psalm, who could utter such a hope, an expectation in this connection with those who had done to Jah people what they had done did? Yes, yes. So here, 2 minutes, 2 minutes before we get into the grace of this podcast, here, in the upper room, yes, I, of Zion, yes, I, Rastafari, here.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords. Conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these imperial majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he travel this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men. Surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
So here the Hebrew, the Hebrew secondarily, the English and the Hebrew. We're going to ride up with more in the study of the Hebrew. Here, as we just fulfilled here, the Royal Amharic from the King of Kings Bible. Here, today's daily song.
Psalm 129. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord.
Mizmor kuf kaf tet shir ammaalot Rabbat tzeraruni min ne'urai yomarna Yisrael Rabbat tzeraruni min ne'urai gam lo yachluli Al gabbi harishu horishim he'erichu lema'anitam Adonai tzaddik titzetz avot rishaim יבושו ויסוגו אחור כל שונאי ציון. יהיו כחציר גגות שקדמת שלף יבש, שלא מילא חפו קוצר וחיצנו מאמר, ולא אמרו העוברים ברכת אדוני עליכם, ברכנו אתכם בשם אדוני.
Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm 129. Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm 129. Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm CXXIX. Shir Ha-Ma'ilot, Song of Degrees, Song of Ascents. Shir Ha-Ma'ilot. Ravata Aruni Amin Orai Yomar Na Yisrael. Much nuf nuf have they afflicted me, have they afflicted I, from my youth up. Rabat Aruni Min Orai. May Yisrael, may Israel now say, Yomar Na Yisrael. Rabat Aruni Min Orai. Gam lo yakluli. Nuf, 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 nuf. Rabat. Nuf have they afflicted me. Much have they afflicted I from my youth up. Rabat Aruni Amin Orai. But they have not prevailed against me. They have not prevailed against I. Gam lo yakluli. Al Gabi Harshu Horshim He Riku Li Ma'in Notam He Riku Li Ma'initam. The plowers plow up on my back. They made long their furrows. The plowers plow upon my back. They made long their furrows. Al Gabi Harshu Horshim He Riku Li Ma'inotam He Riku Li Ma'initam. Yahuwah Sadika Kitsa Vota Rishaim. Jehovah is righteous, Yahuwah Sadik. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked, the cords of the ratchet. Kitsa Vota Rishaim. Yehoshua we yisogu ahora kol sonai Zion. Make them be ashamed and turn back and turn backward. Yehoshua we yisogu ahora. All they are them that hate Zion. Kol sonai Zion. Yehiyu akach tzira gagota shek admata shalafa yavesh. Make them be as the grass up on the housetops. Yehiyu akach tzira gagot that withereth afore it springeth up, that withereth before shek admata shalafa yavesh. Shelo mile kapo kotsir we chitzno me amir. Wherewith the reaper filleth not his hand. Shelo mile kapo kotsir. Nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. We chitzno me amir. Willo Amru ha ovrin birkata Yahua elekem braknu etikem b'shem Yahua. Neither do they that go by say, Willo Amru Ha'ovri, the blessing of Jehovah be upon you. Birkata Yahuwah Elekem, we, I and I, bless you. Beraknu Etekem, in the name of Jehovah. Bishem Yahuwah, Shir Ha'ma'ilot. Rabata Tzeraruniya min orai, Yomarna Israel. Rabata Tzeraruni min orai, Dam lo yakluli. Al gabia harshu horshima he'erikua le ma'enotam. He'erikua le ma'enitam. Yawa tzadika kitzeta evota rishai. Yevoshu we isogu ahor kol sonai tzion. Yihiyu kach tzir gagota shek admata shalafa yavesh. Shelo mileka po kotzir, wechitznoa me'amir, lo amru ha ovrim, birkat Yahuwah lekem, beraknu etkem, b'she yawa, beraknu. Beraknu, beraknu, berak, berak, beraknu, And here in today's daily psalm is Morkov Kaf 8. And here in today's daily psalm is Morkov Kaf 8. We come to the third verse that often is translated in the KJV, the King James Version translation. Let's bring this up right here. Bring this third verse of today's psalm, Psalm 129, is Morkov Kaf 8. KJV brings out the third verse as the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Now there's an interesting Kareh Katib. The Katib is what is written or what's printed in the Masoretic, and the Kareh is what is said. So there's certain areas of the scripts, and in particular in the study of the Psalm, the Midrash on the Mizmor, and the study of the Sefer Tehillim, there are verses that have the kareh, what is vocalized, what is called out, what is recited, what is said, the kareh from kara, and we have the katib, right? The katib is what is katab, what is printed. So here the verse, the third verse, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, the gimel or the gamel verse, al gabi harshu horshim he'erikua. Now here we have the kareh, what is said is le ma'enitam, le ma'enitam, ma'enitam, ma'enitam. The katib, what is written is le ma'enotam, le ma'enotam. So what do we have here? We have the ma'ena, 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 ma'ena. Now this word in this construction, ma'ena, from ana, right? This word here is often defined as a plow. So the translators translate this as a plow. Now here we are looking at the Mackelsons, which is the Mackelsons enhanced, Mackelsons, the fuller name of it, if we could bring this up right here, the fuller name, Mackelsons. So Mackelsons Mackelson, the title is Mackelsons Enhanced Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionaries. The authors is Mackelson. Jonathan Kristen, we take it as Jonathan Kristen Mackelson. So his version that is utilized by the Word software, one of the softwares that we use, the Bible, interlinear Bible softwares, one of the points of reference, Mackelson. But the foundation is Strong's. Now Strong's for the Old Testament based a lot on Gesenius, or some pronounce his name as Gesenius, the GJ kind of vibes in English, Gesenius. Gesenius, he referred to a lot of the Ethiopic. So we like Strong's, especially because in the real study of biblical Hebrew and of the Hebrew language, the real
strides for truth that have been made is those who would include all the points of references, and especially including the Ethiopic or the Gutas. So the Gutas being we consider it as a living Shemitic, one of the pure or the original types of Shemitic languages, which is a key, a scriptural biblical key for biblical Hebrew. Not to get into details right there, but just to point out why we use what reference sources. So here, as we was going through this again, we once again paying more attention to the kare from kara, what is recited or what is said, what is called out, what is kara, the kare, and the katib. The katib, in the ancient Hebrew, katib, modern Hebrew, katib, and we have the kare, what is said, what is called out, what is recited, and the katib is what is written. So in some cases, what is written or what has been printed may have some question of a letter either being missing or perhaps maybe a letter, for example, the yod and the waw. This happens often with the yud, the yod, the y, Hebraically, and the wawe, the w. So these two letters, if you look at them Hebraically, even in the Masoretic, the Asherit script, or we'll say the post-Babylonian, the square Hebrew, referred to as square Hebrew, which is the Masoretic text, the yod and the waw virtually looks very much similar or connected. One is a short, the yod is short, and the waw is an extended line, the waw or the vav. Some say vav. In the modern Hebrew, it's known as vav. In the ancient Hebrew, it's known as the waw or the wawe. Right? And the wawe, we get this Ethiopically, wawe, or just short, waw. So we have the waw or the w. Now, in modern Hebrew, they say no w sound. But in the ancient Hebrew, there is a W sound. So here, in looking at this particular word in the third verse, and the word here in question is it le ma enotam, le ma enotam, le ma enotam, or is it le ma enitam, le ma enitam? Now, what's the difference? So we went into a little bit of additional study right here on this, and it's of great interest because the general translation is the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Now, if we study Hebraically in the scriptures, there is there's the tilim, the telem, and there is the gadud, right, for the word furrows. If we look up the term furrows, F-U-R-R-O-W-S. Now, for those who might not be so agriculturally inclined or astute and might not get this, is hear the word furrows. Like when one, say one, their forehead, you know, like when people wrinkle their forehead, you know how they, when they wrinkle their forehead and the lines, and those lines in the wrinkling of the forehead, like a person makes an expression that wrinkles their forehead, and some persons may have deeper furrows. That's like a furrow. They furrow their brow, the forehead, they furrow it. And it resembles the land, you know, agricultural farmland. When you look at farmland, when it's being prepared, you know, for sowing and for reaping, once you prepare these deep grooves, so the land being gashed by the plow, right? So the sense of the plowers plowing up on my back, which is the first part of the Gimel verse, the Gamel verse of Mizmor Kof Kaf Teit of Psalm 129, Gabbi, my back, all upon Gabbi, upon my back, Charshu, they plowed, Charshu, Chorshi, the Chorshi are the plowers, Charshu, the verb, they plowed, Chorshi, they plowed the plowers, all Gabbi, Charshu, Chorshi, upon my back, they plowed the plowers. So literally in the Hebrew construction, up on my back, al Gabbi, Charshu, Chorshim, they plowed the plowers. That's the first part of the third verse. Then we have He'eriku from Arak is like to make long, Arak. We have it in the form of Erek Apayi, one of the attributes, the midot of Hashem, of Yod-Heh Wah-Heh, of He who be who He be, is that He is Erek Apayi. Now literally, Erek, long, Apayim, the Apayim, or Afayim, and another pointing, Afayim, the Pe-Fe, would be nose, like, or noses, let's say like the nostrils, in that sense. So So literal meaning of the attribute of Erekapayim, of he who be who he be. Ehye Asher Ehye. He who be who he be. Ehye, I am Asher who, or that who, that which, that who. Ehye, I am. Now some latter-day Hebrews and Israelites, they mispronounce it. They call it correct, but it's really incorrect if we study Hebrew more comprehensively, right? But it's baby Hebrew, all the same. They will say it's Ahya, Ahya. And they say that he who be who he be, you'll hear them say Ahya, Ahya, Ahya. Now, Ahya means not just I am, it means I be. I be in the sense of I be becoming. I be, like it be what it be, it be what it be. So he who he be in the same sense as we would say, well, it be what it be. It is what it is. It is what it is. He be who he be. Now, to bring out, well, who he be in this manifestation, revelation, right? He who be who he be, Erek Apayi, right? Erek Apayi. So, he, Yahuwah, Asher, Asher, Erek Apayi, Ehye, Asher, Ehye. I be who I be. I become. I'm becoming. I will be. So, it has a threefold triune. This is why in the previous Psalm 72, in Psalm 72, in the Midrash on the Psalm, it pointed to Shemot, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, right in there where Hashem is asked, well, what name? Moshe asks, what name shall he proclaim to the children of Israel? Because they, Moses assumes, Moses thinks that they would not believe that the Elohei of the Ibrahim, right? Ibrahim of the Hebrews has come and met with us. So what name? What name? So there the Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, of the name. There the name is very important. There the name is very important. So within the Midrash note, and that's a very important note because in the note commentary, some of the ancient notes that have been compiled and retranslated and commented on, it uses the I am that I am and tell them the I am have sent me. The I am, Ehye, Shilachani, Shilachani has sent me. Ehye, Shilachani. Now, Ehye is in that first person sense, explaining who he be to Moshe. I be who I be. I be who I become. I be who I manifest to be. So now the key, scripturally speaking, is what we find, especially in the Psalms, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Jehovah, Wuhu Haya, Wuhu Ahoweh, Wuhu Yihyeh. So therefore the threefold sense of the Yod He Weh He, which is one sense of he who be who he be. He who Yahaya, Yahaya, right? Yahawah, as some will say, Yahawah. He who was Yahoweh, 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 Yahoweh. He who be, he who is present, he was present. So Yahoweh is he who is present, he who is being, and Yahweh, Yahweh, he who will become. So we have the threefold sense. Haya, Howeh, Yihyeh, Yihyeh or Yihyeh, Yihyeh. Haya, Yahawaha, Yahawa. We have Howeh, Yehoweh, Yahoweh, Yehoweh, Yahweh, he who will be, Yihyeh. Now that's the key right there. Now what's interesting is that within the verse from Shemot, from Exodus, he says, I am that I am, Ehyeh, Ehyeh, Hashem, Ehyeh. And he says, say to them, Ehyeh, Shilachani. Ehyeh Shilachani, that Ehyeh has sent me. You see, so there's more than one or two vowels within the Hebrew. Right? Now, of course, the Hebrew, in its basic sense, it's just the continental of it, because the people understood the vowel, the pointing of it. It's like writing shorthand. To the degree, the Hebrew that we have masoretically is shorthand. Thus, the need for the pointing, the voweling. Now, is all of the voweling in every place undisputed? No. There's certain places where the voweling is disputed, or in certain areas where through an alternative pointing, another sense of revelation even can be brought out. So here's where the kare and the katib, the kare and the katib, this is speaking of the kare and the katib, this is a little additional reasoning here, especially for the Talmudim, for disciples, dekam ez amorit, for those who truly are seeking, hopefully they can find within this that which they need and will bless their understanding, their understanding, and their overstanding. So here in the third verse where it reads, the plow was plowed. The plow was plowed up on my back. They made long their furrows. So does the word or the term, le ma'i notam le ma in notam le ma in notam is it ma in notam le ma inita. Now the ketiv, what is written, is le ma in notam le ma in notam. Now le ma in notam brings out the sense that we have in the translations generally as their furrows. But then we have the kere, what is said ma initam. Now see, it's the ma initam and the kere that we should pay attention to, because already the translators generally in the translations KJV will generally translate the Keti, generally speaking, right? Unless they check with the Septuagint, because the Septuagint is important, because the Septuagint, which was translated from even an older form of the Hebrew, we have in many cases the more accurate bringing out of the Kere Keti, where we can see, okay, though it is written, Katab, it's written like that, it should be said like this. For example, we have the N-word, right? If we say the N-word as nigger, it seems to be a pejorative. Nigger is a pejorative. But by many who say nigga, now notice, nigga is said to be said in, it can be a pejorative sense as well, but generally it's an affectionate sense by this people who have suffered in the very same sense as we have the sufferers within Mizmor Kof Kaf 8. It's a sufferer's plea. So here is an interesting Kere Keti. So even in the Kere Keti, Hebraic Li, we can see the identity of who we be as the once lost, now found, black and brown sheeple, the people of the Bait Yisrael. That Kere Keti. Nigger, nigga. Right? Little slight difference in pointing right there. Right? Even in other words, we use this as just a main, it's a red flag example, but we use it as a main red flag example. It gets one's attention. You want to understand, right? The difference between nigger and nigga, right? Nigger is like, oh, you racist. Nigga is like, well, what you mean? You know, we have to feel out the spirit. Notice that right there. When the word nigga, like being said like that, the first thing we check for, those who are able to check for, is the spirit of it. And what spirit and what sort of breath did this person say it? Because in a certain sense of saying the word nigga, right, amongst those who receive such, it can be taken in a complimentary. That's my nigga. Yo, that's my nigga, right? Now, if I say, well, that's my nigger, it's like I'm saying that's my slave. If I say that's my nigga, I'm saying I could be saying that's my homie right here. You understand that particular nuance difference. So let's not bemuse ourselves that it's only in the English that we can make these differences and distinctions in how words are said. Right, that as we study the Hebrew, Hebraically, we also come across this same connection in the nuances, right? The nuances, and what's important is as Rav Shaul or the Apostle Paul, I think it was Paul that said that, you know, not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. See, Paul was familiar with that, right, being a Yehudi, being a Jew in that sense, and studying under Gamaliel, one of the ancient Rambam or of the Rabim, of the scholars of Torah, right? So here's where we get even a connection with even the Midrash on the Tehillim, the study of the Psalms, because many of the Midrashes are very old. Now, there's latter-day commentaries of rabbis who are not necessarily of our people, right? Speaking of ethnic Yisrael, but many of the ancient commentaries are of our people, right? Are of our people, and there is that connectivity right there. Let's not forget that Robeinu, Yeshua is our rabbi, because it was the Talmudim, the disciples, that were first called Meshachim, Meshachim, I think it's pointing as Meshachim, or Messiahites, those are the Messiahs. In the common language, or the language of the Greeks and the popular, like English is popular today, well, Greek was popular then. So you have many Hebrews, but then if you ask them concerning Hebrew, many of them will say, well, they really don't know Hebrew like they would like to know it and like they probably should know it for who they say they be. This is why this is an important study for us in the LOJ society, right, for the disciples of Talmudim. So once again, right here to this particular point, because this needs to be kind of brought out right here, right? So what's the translation of this? The general translation is, the plow was plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. Now, I think it was the KND, Kyle and DeLeach, that said this right here. Elsewhere, it has been said that the enemies have driven over Israel, have driven over Yisrael. And we have this here in Psalm 66. Is it 66? 66 at verse 12, hirkavta enosh li roshenu banu ba'esh uba mayim uba mayi wa totsi enu la revaya la revaya modern Hebrew la revaya or in the ancient Hebrew la revaya. So the translation KJV is, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but thou, the I, broughtest us, I and I, out into a wealthy place. Hirkavtai no shale roshenu banu baesha ua bamayi wato tsienu la rewaya. Right, so here we have this connection here, or have that the enemies have gone over its back, the enemies having gone over Yisrael, Israel's back. And we have this here in Isaiah 51 and 23, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, who have said to thy soul, thy psyche, thy, our collective feminine as our soul, our psyche, bow down that we may go over, and thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. So we have here, v'samatiha b'yad mogayik asher amru l'nafshek shechi v'na'ibora wa tasimi ka'aret Gewek, some say, or Gewek, with kahut la obrim, right? So we have this sense right here, just in connection with today's song. This is what Kyle and Delitzsch, we pointed to Delitzsch, his commentaries and his Hebrew scholarly work. So here, on these verses here, verses 3 to 5, it says, elsewhere it is said that the enemies have driven over Israel in Psalm 66, verse 12, or have gone over its back in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 51, 23. Here, the customary figurative language, right, that we have in Job 4 and 8, bringing out Job 4 and 8 right here, where the English says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness, wretchedness, reap the same. Even as I have seen, they or them that plow iniquity, antiquity, and sow wickedness, wretchedness, reap the same. Kasha raiti horshe aven, with zora ei amal. Yikas ruhu, they reap the same according to what I have seen. Kaasha raiti, those or them that plow iniquity, chorshe aven, those who plow iniquity with zor amal and sow trouble, and they sow wickedness, they sow amal. They will reap him. So we have Chorshe Aven in Job, Eob 4 and 8, and that's to be compared with Hosea 10 and 13 that reads, ye have plowed wickedness, wretchedness. Y'all have reaped iniquity. Y'all have eaten the fruit of lies because thou distrust in the way, in thy way, because thou distrust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Seems like a commentary on these latter days and times. Here we have Chirashtem Resha Awlata. It's artem, it kaltem, pri, kahash, ki, ba, achta, bi, darekeka, bi, ro, giboreka, in the multitude of your giboreka, the multitude berov, Giboreka, in the multitude of your mighty men. So we have this verse as well, connected with today's psalm. Ye have plowed wickedness, righteousness, ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in your way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. So them trusting in their way, but not in Yahweh. Now this is extended to another figure of hostile dealing with today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, with Psalm 129. This is extended to another figure of hostile dealing. Without compassion and without consideration, they ill-treated the stretched forth back of the people, of Jah people, even we, the once lost, now found black and brown people, who were held in subjection as though it were arable land. So here the analogy, the figure, the word picture is connecting the downpression of the people, of Jah people, right, with the land, the connection with the land, and without restraining their ferocity and setting a limit to their spoiling of the enslaved people, even we, the enslaved people. Now, this matches perfectly when we start to get into, well, what is the correct translation? And what is this kare, kati, right, between the le ma'inotam and le ma'initam, right? Is it their furrows, their acres, the acres, the arable land, ma'enotam, or is it ma'enitam? Is it really the ma'enitam? And what would be the bringing out of the ma'enitam, right? They made long, he'eriku le ma'enitam. They made long their downpressing, their depression, because taking it to the word ma'ana, ma'inna, right, to its root, the anna, it means to afflict. They made long their affliction. They made long their affliction. But in a wonderful turn of speech, right, with the le ma'enotam, which refers to like an acre, the only other place in the scripts, I think it's 1 Samuel 14:14, we have the same word, right? We have the ma'inna. The ma'inna is connected with a furrow. So ma'enotam would be furrows, the furrows, really more correctly, the acres of land. Because the word for furrow is tillin. This is why we go through this. Because we say, well, they made long their furrows. We get the idea, but there's even a deeper idea that's being missed unless we study it. So without restraining their ferocity and setting a limit to their spoiling, to the goying, the Gentiles, the nations, right? White Anglo-Saxon Protestants, their spoiling of the enslaved black and brown Hebrew and Israelitish people, right? And country, speaking by extension to Africa and even east of the river Nile. They drew their furrow strip. They drew their furrow, the furrow, like the furrows, those grooves, those gashes made in the ground. So we have ma'enitam, according to the kare, right? Ma'enotam, right? According to the kare, ma'enotam, right? So according to the kare, is ma'enitam, what it said. According to what is written, is ma'enotam, which brings out the ma'enotam. This here brings out the sense of furrows, to say the acres of arable land. Right? In other words, we can spoil this people just like new ground. From this people, we can, you know, once again, put our plow in this people, the lost sheep of the Bait Yisrael, and we can get something out of it. We can use and spoil black and brown people. This is what it's saying here. But ma'inna does not signify the furrow. Ma'inna does not signify that. So when we refer to 1 Samuel 14:14, we can understand that in 1 Samuel 14:14, bringing this up right here, it says, 14:14, it says, and that first slaughter that Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre, the word acre, ma'inne, a half ma'inne of land. Now italicized as which, right, a yoke of oxen might plow. But now the correct reading of the verse, and that first slaughter that Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land. A yoke. See, a yoke. If you're looking at this in 1 Samuel 14:14, in a good KJV Bible, it no doubt will say, which a yoke, and an italicization, of oxen might plow. Which of oxen might plow. But the word there is just a yoke. Right? Watahi ha-maka ha-rishona asher hika Yonatan we-no-sei kalayo ke-esarim ha-ish ke-bachitzi about a half ma'inna, a half acre. Emed Sade. Emed Sade. Now, Emed is a couple, a yoke up here. I like to say like a yoke of oxen. Sade, right? Sade is a field. So more bringing it out, it would be to say according to half a ma'inna, half a acre, that oxen, like a half an acre of the field. Half an acre of the field. So the connection here is definitely with the process of creating those furrows, but it's not literally a furrow. So here Kyle and DeLeach brings this out correctly, right? It's like even the Arab word is, they have ma'inat, a strip of arable land that the plowman takes in hand at one time, at both ends, of which consequently the plowing team, the Emmet, always comes to a stand, turns around, and plows a new furrow, begins to plow a new furrow. So that process of plowing the new furrow, right, the ma'inna, the acre, that section, right, of the sade, of the field, that he takes the emed, the pier of, or the yoke. When it says yoke, it's not a literal physical yoke, but it's speaking about emed, these being double, twinned, like oxen, right? So what happens is that the connection with even the Arabic term ma'inat, right, for ma'ineh, a strip of arable land that the plowman takes in hand at one time. At both ends of that, consequently, the plow team, the semen, always comes to a stand, always comes to a stand to a particular point, turns around, and begins to plow a new furrow. So we have the word anna, also to bend, that sense of to bend, to turn, to bend, to turn. It is therefore they drew their furrow turning long, their turning long of the counterfeit so-called supremacy, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant so-called supremacy. Now, here we have in the Hebrew the dative of the object instead of the accusative with the he fell, right? As in some other verses in the PL and the Kal, we can get into that particular detail. Righteous is Yahweh, right? Jehovah, right? This is a universal truth that has been verified in the present circumstances. He have cut asunder the cords of the ratchet, as we have in the next verse, cutting asunder, also comparing with Psalm 2 and 3. Here, however, it is suggested by the metaphor that we have in Psalm 129 here at the third verse, and we have in Job 39 and 10. In Job 39 and 10, it says, "Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Hitikshara, rain, bitelem." See the word bitelem in the furrows. Bitelem, evoto, im ye sadeda, imakim achreka after you. Can you hold the wild ox in the furrow with his harness? With his harness, or will he till the valleys after you? Can you hold the wild ox in the furrow with his harness? Hetik shara rain betelem evoto ima yisadeda imakim achreka. It's a question. Imakim achreka? Achreka? You know, asking question. Can you? Can you do this? KJV say, "Canst thou bind the unicorn," which is the rain, the wild ox, "with his band in the furrow? Or will he harrow the valleys?" In other words, will he harrow, to harrow, right? Harrow, like to break the clods, to break up the grounds of the valley after thee. So here we have the connection right here, right? Anuk, right? With that, they held Israel bound. This is how Yisrael is held bound. From that has just been experienced, Yisrael, the Tsar of El, the Prince of El, the Almighty, Yashar El, the Upright of the Almighty, Yisrael, the man who sees the true good, the true God, derives the hope that all Zion's haters, all of Zion's haters, the haters of Zion, even the African Zion, now this is a newly coined term, Zion's haters, for the enemies of the Haimanot, the living faith of Yisrael, the living faith, sometimes referred to as religion, but the living faith of Yisrael, they will be obliged to retreat with shame and confusion. So here, just bringing out this a little bit more, as we was going through, we said, okay, we should share this right here. There's two readings of it. One would be making their furrows long, right, making their furrows long, le-ma-enotam, and then we have the kere, le-ma-enitam, making the ana, making the down-pression, long, because from the root, right, the H6031, which is the root of the H60, right, the H60, what we have, no, it's the H4618, ma-inna, ma-inna, coming from the root, the H6031, ana. Ana is like to be occupied, to be busy with, but it also has a sense of to afflict, to oppress or to downpress, to humble, to be afflicted, to be bowed down, right, to be low. It's bringing out the sense, it's bringing out the ideal sense of downpress. They made long their downpression. They're looking down on us, they're browbeating I and I, they're wasp supremacy over I and I, to depress, to beat down, to afflict, to debase. But this is taken in the dual sense, connected with Al-Gabi, Kharshu, Khorshim, the plowers up on my back, I and I back, Al-Gabi, Kharshu, Khorshim, they have plowed upon my back. Heriku, Le-Ma-Notam, Le-Ma-Nitam, they made long their furrows in down pressing, made long their down pression of I and I, as with the land, the plantation, the land, how to make a slave is kind of can be brought in, right, as a point of reference to the moral of Mizmor Kof Kaf Tet, a sufferer's plea. The troublous time, some connected with Nehemiah, but these words here are connected with I and I time, even here, in the years after. Right, we have 2020, the year after, 400 years, and here in the years after, while the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
Suffer many more as God died. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Back up on it, head him, hang him up so high. When remember crucifixion, me feel for cry. Oh Lord, my God, I never chance to eye. Not everything now. Suffer many more as God died. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that suffer many more as God died. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Never suffer many more as God die. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Never suffer many more as God die. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Back up on it, head him, hang him up so high. When remember crucifixion, me feel for cry. Oh Lord, my God, I never shan't say aye. Not everything, not walk, nor swim or fly. Never suffer many more as God die. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Never suffer many more as God die. Jesus the Savior with them crucified. Bring him on the cross and call that crucified. Back up on it, head him, hang him up so high. When remember crucifixion, me feel for cry. Oh Lord, my God, I never chance to eye. Not everything, not walk, nor swim or fly. You feel eating and you're struck and feel satisfied.
Much, nuff, have they afflicted me. From my youth up, may Israel, let Israel now say, the plow was plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. Jehovah, he will be with you, here, Midrash, study here. From the Midrash on Psalms, the Midrash Tehillim. Here, Midrash, study here. From the Midrash on Psalms, the Midrash Tehillim, Mizmor Kof Kaf Tet, Psalm 129, Mizmor Kof Kaf 8, Psalm CXXIX. Much, nuff, nuff, have they afflicted me from my youth up. May Israel, let Israel now say, the plow was plowed up on, upon my back. They made long their furrows. Jehovah, he who be, we be. Almighty, divine majesty, is righteous. He have cut asunder the cords of the wicked. He have cut asunder the cords of the ratchet. Mizmor kof kaf tate. Shir ha ma'illot. A song of degrees, a song of ascents. Rabata tzilaruni mina urai. Yomar na Yisrael. Rabata tzilaruni mina urai. Dam lo yakluli. Al gabi harshu horshi. Heriku le ma'inotam. Heriku le ma'initam. Yahweh tzadik. Kitzeita ebota rishai,
rishai, rishai,
nuff nuff, nuff rabat, nuff nuff much, or nuff 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 have them afflicted I and I from I and I youth up, from I youth up, nuff nuff much have they afflicted me from my youth up, rabat saruni min orai. May Israel now say, Yomar na Yisrael, Yomar na Yisrael. May Yisrael now say, come on Israel, come on Yisrael, say this, Yomar na Yisrael. Say what? Rabata tzeraruni min orai. Gam lo yakluli. Nuff nuff have them afflicted, I and even I and I, from I and even I and I youth up. Rabat Saruni Mina Urai, but they have not prevailed against me, or Gam also, Gam and also, Gam also, yet Gam Lo Yaklu Li Gam Gam Gam, but they have not prevailed against I. Al Gabi Harshu Horshi, up on my back. Al Gabi, upon my Gab, Gabi, 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 Al Gabi, Harshu, Harshi, Harshu. They plowed Harshi, the plowers, Heriku, they made long, they made Arek, Arek, Heriku, they made long, Le Ma'inotam. Now, that is the Kati, what is written? Le Ma'inotam, from Ma'inna, Ma'inna, Ma'inna. Ma'inna, an acre of arable, plowable, agricultural land in that sense. So in the sense of the Ketib, what is written, Le Ma'inotam, their furrows or their plowable ground. Their plowable ground. They made this go on long, 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 long time. What is this? 400 years. Heriku Le Ma'inotam. Now the Kere here is, Heriku le ma'initam, le ma'initam, from Anna to down press. Heriku, they made long their down pressing, their down pressing I and I in this, even in this how to make a slave, in that how to enslave sense. Al gabi harshu horshi, heriku le ma'inotam, the katid. Heriku le ma'initam. They made long their down pressure. Yahuwah Sadiq. Yahuwah Sadiq. Jehovah Sadiq. Yahuwah Sadiq. He who be who he be. Sadiq. He who be who he be. The Almighty Divine Majesty. Sadiq. Righteous. Kitzeitza evota rishayiv. He hath cut asunder. Kitzeit. 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 Evot. Evot, some say evot, but ebot, evot, ebot, the cords, rishayim, kitzeitza ebota rishayim, he have cut asunder the cords of the ratchet, he has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. The word here is employed in Eob in Job chapter 39 verse 10, for the rope that harnesses the ox to the plow, the Israelites, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, under the subjection of heathen, of the goy, especially the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant rulers and the nations, the heathen, the Goyim, the nations, the Gentiles, the international community, we are likened here to the ox, yoked for work, in the field, by Ha'el, the true good, the true God, the Almighty's aid. The cords were broken, and freeness was and is being regained. Even here, the year and the years after 400 years. So here the verse from Eeyore from Job chapter 39 verse 10. In the KJV, the King James Version, it reads, "Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Or will he harrow the valleys after thee?" So here's the verse being connected right here with the Kitzeitza Ebota Rishaim. He have cut asunder, cutting asunder Ebot cords, Ebot Rishaim, the cords of the ratchet, the cords of the wicked. So here KJV says, "Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? Or will he harrow the valleys after thee, after the eye?" Here he break lee. "Hetiksharem b'telem evoto ima yisadeda emakim achreka." A better translation of this would be, "Can you hold the wild ox in the furrow with his harness?" With his harness, or with his cord, the evoto. Or will he till the word for harrow in the King James, will he till the valleys after you? Will he till the valleys after you? So he in connection with evoto and the rain, he tikshar rain, bitelem evoto. Betelem evoto, can you hold the wild ox, the rain, can you hold the rain in the furrow, betelem evoto, with a cord. So the word for cords here, kitzeit cutting, evot, the cords, rishaim, cutting the cords of the wicked, cutting the cords of the ratchet, is connected with the Hetiksharim, Betelem, Evoto, Betelem in the Telem. Now, Telem is the word for furrows. This is why we go into a little bit more on the Ketiv, what is written, Le Ma'enotam, and the Kere, Le Ma'enitam. So Yisrael here is likened to the ox, that rope, like cutting the cords of the wicked, the rope that harnesses the ox to the plow, right? And how to make a slave, that document, how to enslave, connects that idea. And the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, let's see, over here in this Western whitewashed Gentile Americas and the Caribbean for 400 years, under the subjection of the Goyi, right? The Goyim rulers, the white Anglo-Saxon, Anglo-American rulers, we are likened here to the rain, to the ox yoked for work. For work in the field, and the field is the world. Remember, Rabbeinu Yeshua HaMashiach brought out that sense of the field being the world. But by Ha'el, the true El, Ha'el, by Ha'el Elohim, the true good, the true God's aid, the cords are broken and freeness is regained. So here, opening with the first four. 3-4 verses, Psalm 129, verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. "Much have they afflicted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, the plow was plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. They made long their downpression. Jehovah is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Rabat tzaruni yamin orai. Yomar na Yisrael. Al gabi harshu horshim herikua le ma'enotam le ma'enitam yao sadika kitzeitza evota rishaim." What mashal, what parable explains these verses? Verse 1, verse 3, verse 4. What mashal, What parable explains these verses? The mashal, the parable of a householder who had a plowing heifer that he lent to another man to plow with. The man had 10 sons. One came, plowed, and rested. And another came, plowed, and rested. Finally, the heifer was so exhausted that she lay down. And when all the other heifers came in from the fields, the exhausted one did not come in. The owner of the heifer did not take the time to listen to the excuses of the other man, but went out at once, broke loose the yoke, and cut the ox bows. Like the heifer is Yisrael. Like the para, like the heifer, so is Yisrael. In this world, flesh, satanic, seclora, just like the heifer, so is I and I, Yisrael, in this world. One ruler comes, lays on the yoke, and goes away. And the cuts left by the lash are long, and the cuts left by the lash and the gash of the lash are long. And here, Midrash note, this is the only note on today's psalm right here, proper note, according to the Midrash Tehillim, the Midrash on Psalms, we have for Mizmor Kof Kaf Tate, Psalm 129, it says, see above Psalm 103 and the 10th parak, the 10th section. Now here, going to Psalm 103, the 10th parak, the 10th section, it says, he made known his ways to Moshe, his doings to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, to the children of Israel, to the Israelites. Rav Barakiah said in the name of Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Moses sat down and reckoned Yisrael's redemption. From the time that the tribes of Yisrael came down into Mitzrayim, into Egypt, into Kemet, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, also reckons and counts. And now, the furrow of the lash being long up on Yisrael, Israel, and they growing weary, behold, He reckons redemption from the time that I was at Yitzhak, Isaac was born, so that we, I and I, are closer to being free of the lash. Hence, here it is said, and Elohim saw the Bnei Yisrael, and Elohim, true God, took cognizance of them. In Shemot, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 25. Now, Moshe was keeping the flock in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. When Moses said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, the Ayla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, Ribon, Shel HaOlamin, Master of the Universe, Universal Master, show me now Thy ways, that I may know Thee, according to Shemot, Exodus chapter 33, 13. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, answered, seekest thou to know my ways? As thou livest, I shall make them known to thee, to the eye. Hence, hear, even in Psalm 103 at verse 7, He made known His ways to Moshe. As for His doings, His beneficent, beneficial doings to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, to the children, to the Israelites, how unlike the man of whom it is said, even in Devarim, in Deuteronomy 22:14, if a man take a wife, a Isha, Eshet, an Oset, and hate her, and put wanton doings to her, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani exclaimed, O son of man, O son of Adam, may thy doings be merciful, so that mercy will also be shown to thee. So, like the heifer, so is Yisrael in this seclorum, in this world, flesh, satanic seclorum, in this world. One ruler comes, lays on the yoke, and goes away, and the cuts left by the lash are long, 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 long. As is said, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows al gabi harshu harshim heriko le ma'inotam heriko le ma'initam. At length, when the time, the hour of redemption comes, HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, will not take time to say to the nations, the Goye Ha'aretz, the nations and nationalities of the earth, of the earthly plane. He will not take time to say to the nations, the nationality, the heathen of the earth, such and such have you done to my children. He's not going to take the time to say to the Goye Ha'aretz, such and such have y'all done to my children. But He will come at once and break loose the yoke and cut its bows asunder, as is said, and I have broken the bars of your yoke. Hear, Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13. Ani Yehovah Elohekem, Asher Hotzeiti Etkem, Me Eretz Mitzrayim, Mihiyota Lahem Evadim, Wa Eshbora Motota Ulkem, Wa Olek Etkem, Koma Miyut. I be He who be who He be, Yal Elohim, true good, true God, true power. Ani Yehovah Elohekem, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Asher hotzeiti etekem me eretz mitzrayim, that ye, that y'all should not be their bondmen. Mehiyota lahem ebadim, and I have broken the bars of your yoke. Wa eshbora motota ulkem, and made you go upright, wa olek etekem kome miyut. Hence, here, the psalmist says, He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked, of the ratchet. Ha'ariku. He has cut asunder the cords that they made long. Yahweh tzadik, kitzeitza evota rishayim, cha hove he who be we be, tzadik. Righteous, he has cut evot rishai, kitzeitza evot rishai. During a sabbatical year, Rav Chanina bar Papa and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani passed by a man who was plowing. When Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said to the man, "Good luck," Rav Chanina bar Papa asked Rav Shmuel, "Samuel, did you not teach me, my master, that the verse, neither do they that go by say, the blessing of Jehovah be upon you, be upon you? V'lo amru ha'ovrim, berkati Yahweh elekem." This means that one must not say good luck to men, mazutov, good luck to men who plow during a sabbatical year. Rav Shmuel, Samuel replied, "You may know how to read scripture, but you do not know how to interpret it." Rav Shmuel replied, "You may know how to read scripture, but you do not know how to interpret it." The words, neither do they that go by. Ha Ovrim. This here refers to the Goye Ha'aretz, to the nations, the nationality, the Gentile, the heathen of the earth, of the earthly plane, that will pass out of the world because they will not say to the B'nai Yisrael, they will not say to the sons of Israel, to the children of Israel, to the Israelites, the blessing of Jehovah be up on you, because they will not say Birkati Yahweh Elekem. They will not say the blessing, the Birkat of Jehovah be upon you. Even though the Bnei Yisrael, even though the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, even though I and I, the Israelites, say to them, "We bless you in the name of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, Beraknu etkem b'shemi Yahuwah. We bless you, we bless y'all in the name of Yahweh of Jehovah. The Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, the Israelites, also say to the Goyi Ha'aretz, to the nations and nationalities, the heathen, the Gentiles of the earth, all the boons, the goods, that which is good, the boon, bueno, all the boons and comforts that come to you because of us, because of I and I, are not enough for you, for you do not say to us, come and take a portion of these berkot, take a portion of these blessings. On the contrary, y'all exact from us, from I and I, tributes, fines, poll taxes, and taxes in kind and unkind. But finally, y'all will have to make compensation. Y'all will have to make restitution.
Restitution.
Y'all will have to make reparations. For it has been promised to Yisrael, even I and I, the once lost, now found black and brown people, Jah people, the sheeple of the Bait Yisrael. It has been promised to Yisrael, according to Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah 60 and 17. For brass, I will bring gold, and for iron, I will bring silver. Tachata ha nechosheta aviyah zahav, v'tachata ha barzel aviyah kesef. For brass will I bring gold. Tachata ha nechoshet aviyah zahav, and for iron, I will bring silver. V'tachata ha barzel aviyah kesef. Tachata ha nechoshet aviyah zahav. V'tachata ha-barzel abiya kesef. For brass, I will bring gold. And for iron, I will bring silver.
Yes. Give thanks, Havarim. Shalom, Havarim. The Hitaro. Love that midrash right there. They will have to pay. You'll have to pay. Yes, I pay the Ivine. You know, reparations. Yes, I. One love, brothers and sisters. Shalom, Haverim. Stay tuned. From the 47th to the 48th day. Looking forward to TJIF, Jah willing. Thank Jah. Rastafari, it's Friday. Keep growing. Yes, I. Keep counting the growth. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I. Shalom, Haverim. Shalom.